to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Open phones. I'll talk to you. If you call up, I'll talk to you. I don't care what it's about. T?
Yes.
Teresa Strasser, how are you feeling today?
Well, I've had a little surge, a resurgence of the flu.
Uh-huh.
My life's gotten very, very simple. Keep food down.
Mm-hmm.
Get home.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep antidepressants down.
Sure.
Goals are simple.
Yeah, you look bad. Dave?
I know, I do. I really do.
I agree.
Hello.
Dave Damashek, you're doing well? Something's going around, yeah. I got a little touch of something myself. Not the flu. Not the flu. I have a little cough, a little head cold.
Malaise.
Something going around. My kids have it a little bit.
Oh, no, the little ones?
I don't worry about them.
Well, now I'm going to hear about it from Cindy because she's, you know, knocked up now. She said, Teresa's sick. You better stay away from me because if you give it to I can't take anything. So you better not get me sick.
Yeah. I feel horrible.
Selfish.
Yeah. No, I'd feel horrible if anyone else got sick.
Well, you know, there's nothing worse than the flu. And I feel like I can't stand the you know, a lot of people use sick as an excuse. It's a general, easy excuse. The problem is sick is effed out as far as an excuse goes for not going to work. It's a very general thing. It's like either you have a doctor's appointment or you have a dental appointment or some form of appointment or you're sick. And, of course, less than half the time people are actually sick. Then when you're actually sick, you just get thrown in and lumped in with all the other people that weren't actually sick or decided to take a day off, which I can't stand. I feel like I'm not exactly sure how to do it, but I had the flu a few years back. And when the flu really kicks in, there's no worse 24 hours, maybe even 48. I mean, you'd rather be recovering from a horrible motorcycle accident than that feeling where you're crawling and just aching. You know where you're just allowed, even though there's nobody in your room or nobody in your house, just,
yes.
Just you can hear how much pain you're in. The only thing worse than that pain is when you show up at work, Jimmy Kimmel Live, a couple days later, and you get that thing where you come in and those other people flippantly say, oh, yeah, I was sick, too. You know, like a lot of people like to join in. Man, where were you? Where were you for the last day, Corolla? Oh, I had a flu, a horrible flu. It was vomiting, fevery, coming out of both ends. Yeah, I had that, too. I came in anyway. Then it starts going around. Yeah, everyone's got it. But we all came in.
Yeah, but then the other side of that coin is also at that workplace. Then there's a sect of people who yell at you for coming in.
Yes.
What are you doing here? You're going to get me sick. Get out of here.
Yeah. Those aren't the riders. There's nothing worse than when you're telling people that you couldn't physically get out of bed and they're going, yeah, I know we all had that, but we had to come in anyway.
Yes. This morning, Adam, I was inspired by you because as I was clutching over the sink and perhaps crying a little bit, I thought about your dislocated shoulder that you had for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I nutted up.
Nice.
Crying. Pull it back.
You were so sick that it made you cry?
It's just 4 days of it. You know, yeah. I've had it.
Yeah, no, it takes its toll.
I felt sorry for myself.
Just to, when I had my dislocated shoulder for 4 days, I just laid on our horrible used sofa and watched a 13-inch black and white Zenith and urinated into a bottle. So I didn't actually go anywhere. Trying to think of where I had to go back then. Probably would have been school, but it was clear that we weren't going to get along many years before that. Sarah?
Yes.
Sarah is our 72-year-old meth head. I know you're not...
I don't call it cold flu.
What's that?
I don't call it cold, the flu.
Oh.
The flu implies vomiting and diarrhea, and it's really, can be very serious.
Yes.
Yeah, Sarah we met when she called in. At least we met, not in person, but we met over the phone a few months back when she called in. Her daughter was sort of being abusive. She was taking drugs. Your daughter's in her 40s. She's AOL. You cannot find her, right?
I'm sorry?
You can't find your daughter, correct?
No, I can't.
Okay. We're going to bring you in because we thought it'd be nice to see you in person.
Anybody know somebody named Natasha that has to be seen with him.
That's your daughter's name?
During the message. No, but I heard that she has a friend.
Okay, yeah. Well, these are all things you can talk about in person when you come down here.
Oh, that'll be entertaining.
Yeah. Not for the listeners. Is the car there to pick you up?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I've not done there.
I understand.
It should be there.
Right.
So cute.
Yeah, when you live in an apartment, it's unclear whose car is there to do what. You know what
well,
I mean? When
I
there's a
see the parking lot from here.
I understand. Well, I think we're picking you up in moments. Because
okay,
yeah,
I'll go down there then.
Head on down.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. We'll see you when you get here.
Okay, bye bye.
All right. That's Sarah. We met her.
I haven't gotten the phone.
We fell in love with her. She does some drugs. Her daughter does some drugs. She's in a tough way. She tried to commit suicide a few weeks back. She's old. She has some back problems.
Her daughter got kicked in the face by a steel boot.
Yes. It was the liver.
Right.
She got kicked in the liver.
Oh, I
not
tell
you know,
this.
Correct.
Face
you.
Is funnier. We have a deal. There's a way to win some Playboy tickets that is going to involve Sarah if you want to get in on that.
She seems like she's in some mood today, too. Did you get this? Like, some days she's completely lucid. Today she seems a little saucy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like her like this.
Well, that's a good time to cash in. Scott?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
How are you this morning?
Doing well, Scott.
Hey, it's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, man. I came from Florida, and I just transferred over here to California to take care of my mom and dad. And I listen to you guys every single morning on my way into work, and it's definitely, you got a great show going. You really do.
Thanks, Scott. What kind of job do you have where you transferred?
I work for a company that transfers hazardous waste.
Mm-hmm. So via rail, via truck, how do they move it?
A truck. I drive a truck.
So you got to get a special kind of license to move hazardous waste, yes?
That is correct, yes. They have to do a background check to make sure that you are not a terrorist.
Mm-hmm. And then with that extra, you get some extra money, right?
Well, the move from Florida to California actually did give me a raise with the company that I'm with. So, yes, it was kind of an upgrade, yes.
I got to tell you, the trucker lifestyle, I don't know, maybe not as cool as it was depicted in the 70s. Good-looking guys, loving women along the way, talking to their good buddies on the CB. But not a bad gig. I could see myself doing that.
No, it isn't. It's a pretty decent gig. It's not like Smokey and the Bandit anymore, but
yeah.
No, it's all right. You know, driving in the city, I have San Francisco as my territory, and so I see the very eclectic area in San Francisco, which is kind of cool, you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the compliment, Scott. I have to say, the thing I think about all jobs is not what I like to do that job. It's what I like to do that job 5 days a week, every day, all day for the rest of my life. That's the caveat. That's the tough part. Because everything would be cool to do, but not 2 days in a row. Driving a truck to San Francisco, turning around and coming back would be cool once a month. It wouldn't be cool if you had to do it the following day. Even my old horrible professions now... cleaning carpets you don't want to do for a half hour any day out of your life, ever. But even like the carpentry, going back, doing that, depending on the job site, depending on the job, doing that twice a week, maybe a Tuesday and a Thursday, be nice. You're outdoors, you turn up the radio, take your shirt off, get a little sun, that kind of thing. Dave, no?
Too tedious. The worst thing I've ever seen, well, the truck driving thing, you know, those guys, a lot of them just run on a loop. You know, they on a Monday, they drive to Sacramento, and then on Tuesday, they drive to L.A., and then on Wednesday, to Sacramento.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. No one knows long-haul trucking like Dave Damaschek. Nobody. You have questions.
That.
I don't care how long you've been in the business.
It's in the blood,
I don't
though.
Care if you're a dispatcher. I don't care if you're behind the wheel. You want to know? You want answers to your trucking questions? You ask a Jew from Beaver Falls who's never actually been in a truck.
I did when I used to be in sales. One time I went to
You were drunk in the back of a cube truck once with your buddies on a road trip.
That's right.
When you put the keg in the back.
I think that makes me more than an expert. But one time I went into this manufacturing warehouse kind of there, place, and the employees literally were hooked up to the conveyor belt doing their various jobs, and they literally, like puppets, they tie strings to their wrists mm-hmm. so that their hand doesn't get into the machinery. And I thought, that's it. That's the worst job you could possibly have.
Yeah.
Being tied up and looking like a puppet with the man is your marionette making you do his bidding.
I would pretend I was in an NSYNC video with a bunch of ugly guys from Guatemala. Yes.
No strings attached.
That's right.
Bye-bye.
Wes?
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, that's still how I get through the day during this show. Wes, you have a compliment for Dave?
Oh.
Yes, sir. I used to be one of the gentlemen that would call in with complaints about Dave. And he's ended up growing on me, and now I respect your comedic genius even more so because I think you knew he was going to grow on it.
Oh, you're talking about my comedic genius.
Yes, sir.
This is a compliment to Corolla now.
Thank you.
Yeah, but only
thank
because
you,
he recognized your brilliance, Dave.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
Yes.
You're drunk.
No, Dave. Dave is like, you know, here's the thing. Things, if you like something immediately, it's probably not that great. If you like a food or you like a song, the first time you put a bite in your mouth or the first note that hits your ear, better, or even people, better to let it sink in. Little emulsification process, as we used to talk about in the carpet cleaning days. Dave has to sink in. He has to penetrate, and then he gets under your skin, and he's like some hilarious tattoo.
The only thing more annoying than my voice is my laugh.
All right, let's see. Will has a... declaration to make about Sarah. Oh, actually, his name is Master. Master?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, I'll go ahead and take the challenge with Sarah and go ahead and make out with her.
Hmm. Now, how did you know that was the challenge?
You know, I talked to some people, and some people came back to me, and, yeah, I figured it out.
What?
There's a hole.
That's what I heard over the phone. That's just what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you talked to Kyle, the phone screener?
Yeah.
Kyle has a big mouth. He would not make it.
The news is, you're fired.
He would not make it in the mafia.
He's always high on the weed.
Yeah, and to be fair, his mouth is just big because he has a huge head, and it's in proportion. So, Sarah, who's coming in here, she's 72. She's on death's doorstep. She's riddled with drugs. You'll make out with her for Playboy tickets.
Yes, I will, and I'll make out with her twice.
Mm. All right. How long?
Hey, you know what? We can do it for 3 minutes if you like.
Mm-hmm. And what do you look like, Master?
What do I look like? Master. I'm 6'5", 275 pounds. I look like a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Uh-huh.
I'm black, so.
Uh-huh. How's your hygiene? And by the way, if you're black, you don't have to describe your size. You all look like linebackers to me. Maya Angelou, linebacker. I see people of color. I assume they play professional sports. That's just the math I do.
Do you think Sarah will mind crossing the color barrier?
I don't know, but it'll be an extra added bonus, I think. It'll give us that much more diversity in the studio.
Agree.
Master, I sort of like this, except for the part where your name is Master, because I feel like Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie. Other than the irony of the white guy calling you Master, I like this. What city are you in, Master?
I'm in the city of Santa Ana. And right mm-hmm. now I'm in Tustin because I'm just getting to work. Mm-hmm. I'm about to tell my boss I need to leave.
Mm-hmm. yeah, it's got to be tough when your name is Master, but your boss calls you into the office. And yeah. he's like...
He's black, too, so...
Yeah, but he's still your boss.
Yeah, he is.
And he's like, Master, I'm sorry. You can't have that raise. I'm sorry, Master. You're not going to get a half day to go over to Corolla's show. Master this and Master that while he's firing. Master.
Give me this half day.
Okay. What do you do?
I work for a uniform company. So I kind of deliver the uniforms, pick them up, and deliver their products like floor mats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Is it one of those big companies that does all the uniforms for like the people in your building who do the maintenance, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
I always wonder how people get into that business or into businesses you didn't even know existed. I always figure they're kissed in by their family. All right, well, I like the cut of your jib, Master. I think you should come in here.
I'll be more than happy to, sir.
Mm-hmm. And bring me a cop uniform.
We don't make cop uniforms.
All right, well, make it fireman or pirate. Halloween's coming up.
You do doctors?
We do like the coats for doctors. We don't make costume uniforms. We make work uniforms.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, Halloween is coming up. It is. My wife has an endless amount of time to dedicate to this. She announced to me yesterday that she's no longer going to go as the cops in the sabotage video from the Beastie Boys with her and her three goofy girlfriends. She's now going to go as one of the girls from Deal or No Deal.
Ah, that's a good idea.
In which I replied, huh.
Yeah.
That was. It's a funny thing you bring this
up. Must be nice to have that kind of time on your hands.
It's a funny thing you bring up the costumes, the Deal or No Deal, and then sports guy, ESPN page two, sports guy Bill Simmons is going as Howie Mandel in the bald wig. And my wife, Cindy, revealed this ingenious costume to me. And she said, but you can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You better not say that on the radio. You better not. Who cares?
Well, I must say this, ladies, and of course, present company excluded. Teresa Strauss are very interesting. But look, ladies, you constantly complain that we're tuning you out. You constantly complain you're not listening. Perhaps you should come up with something a little more interesting than what costume you're wearing 2 weeks before a holiday we don't really care about now that we're not single anymore. The only thing that was in it for us is we'd see hot chicks getting loaded as a French maid or Playboy bunny, and maybe we could pick up on them in our sailor outfit. Now that we're all spoken for, it's just a pain in the ass. And yeah, you know the people that say like, hey man, you don't listen, or hey man, why don't you this, or sort of accuse? Well, I would put it back on you. If you were telling me, and if my wife's listening, I'll tell you right now, honey, I would listen if you would tell me really interesting, provocative stories about myself. You know what I mean?
Seems fair.
Yeah. You want my ear? Start talking about me. It's as simple as that.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Breaking news. She's not going to go as one of the Beastie Boys from the sabotage video, her and the wife of the aforementioned
Bill Simmons. His wife will kill me if you tell anybody.
Is
that
it the Deal or No Deal girl?
Who cares? Yeah. Wow, that America will be amazed.
Then I come home and I turn on the computer and it's on a website for kitty outfits. You know, is she going to dress the two twins like yams? Is she going to dress them like pumpkins? Is she going to dress one like Sabrina the Teenage Witch and the other like a cat? This is the entire day has been eaten up by this.
What are they going to be?
Briefcases.
They've like changed the Deal or No Deal so many times. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
It's baby's first Halloween. It's a big deal.
I'm going to have Ozzy wrap them up in a flour tortilla, and we're going to make burritos out of them. That's my plan. All right. Ozzy, by the way, who does had the deep fryer out at the Ace Man's house yesterday and was just cooking away, doing tempura in my kitchen at noon when I got home yesterday. Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Stretching himself into the Japanese food.
Tempura flap steak.
We also made a huge pile of that as well. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we're going to play Rich Man, Poor Man. Remember this one?
Yes. Good game.
The genesis of Rich Man, Poor Man was me sitting around the Kimmel writer's table about 3 or 4 years ago. For some reason, I was thinking about an outdoor shower, and I thought, well, if you have an outdoor shower, you're either very rich or super dirt poor. What are the other things that rich people and poor people share that the middle class doesn't? Well, we figured out being driven to the airport, because you're chauffeured to the airport. You have a town car. When you're rich and when you're poor, you have some flunky, unemployed family member drive you to the airport. Either way, you don't have the money, if you're poor, to drop your car off and pay whatever. And if you're rich, you don't have the time to drive yourself there. Rich man, poor man. Things that rich and poor people share alike. We'll do that after this. Rich man, poor man is the game we've been playing. These are things the very rich and the very poor share. Job that requires a helmet.
Carrying around a lot of cash.
Use an attorney quite a bit. You're either Trump or Tad. What is job that requires a helmet? What's that, a rich man, poor man?
Football, baseball players.
Race car
helmets.
Driver?
Ah. All right. I'm hip. Versus hard hat.
Right.
Hmm.
It's not at the extreme of rich or poor.
Not one that I would use as an example, perhaps.
No, I always like exotic meat. People who eat exotic meat are either rich or poor.
Yeah, The ones that go out hunting and they just eat the elk or whatever it is they shoot, the birds or whatever it is they shoot. Yeah, just exotic food in general, stuff, crawdads and stuff like that. Well, we have some new ones here, the rich man, poor one. Molested. A lot of rich guys get molested by a priest. Knowing a priest, family priest.
You know, that's my favorite one, is that you take dinner or you hang out with.
You have your priest
clergy.
Come over for dinner. Yeah. Or then there's just the hillbilly uncle. That's rich guy, poor guy. Thank you. Meals delivered. You either have the Meals on Wheels van come by if you're super poor and you can't move around, or you have the butler bring them up to the room. Either way, food is showing up to your room or showing up to your place of residence. Someone bathes you. You have the butler just stands there holding the towel by the side of the bed like you're Arthur wearing a top hat, or you just can't move and your sores are too bad and you just have some 700-pound black woman throws you into a tub.
My lumbago's killing me.
That's right. And let's see. Ooh, here's one. Concerned about home security. Rich guys have fences and cameras and all kinds of security, whatever. And then when you're really poor, you live in a horrible neighborhood. You know, if you go through a horrible neighborhood, there's bars on every window. Everyone has a Rottweiler. Middle class, most vulnerable. If you think about the middle class house, just picture the super poor house, the super rich house, and then the middle class house. Super rich, high walls, cameras everywhere, lights everywhere, security patrol, super poor bars and Rottweilers. Middle class, just sort of nothing. No bars on the windows, no gate around the house.
I just thought of one that this might make your head spin because it's sort of the inverse of what we're doing. How about this? Don't drive Hondas or Volkswagens. No rich people and no poor people drive either one of those cars. They are purely a middle-class car.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, yes. That's good. And there's a couple others you could toss in there. You never see any really poor guys driving around a Saab, for instance, although it's not a rich man car either. It's sort of a novelty car. But yeah, speaking of cars, Cadillacs. Super poor old guys who live on, you know, on the bayou drive old beat-up Cadillacs, and then rich guys collect them or chauffeured around in them, but it's not a middle-class mobile. Celebrates with fireworks. Rich guys hire a barge to be pulled out in front of their lakeside home and have a fireworks display, and then poor guys just light off crap in the street and just throw it all around. But it's not the middle-class ones are worried about getting busted or starting a fire in their neighbor's house. We have calls here. Let's talk to Michelle. Michelle?
Yeah, Adam?
Rich man, poor man, baby doll.
I think that the rich get a lot of things given to them. They go to restaurants.
Freebies.
Yeah, a lot of freebies.
Yeah.
And poor men get a lot of freebies, too.
That's right.
Clothes, food.
That's true. Other people, usually stuff that rich people got for free a couple of years earlier and decided to dump off over at the poor guy house.
Exactly. But, yeah. Middle class, we don't get anything free. We got to pay for everything.
No, yeah. Rich folks get, you know, gift certificates to salons. Poor people get huge wheels of cheese for free. But, yeah, free food, free cheese, all that stuff, free clothes. It's true.
It's a good one.
It's good stuff. David, what do you have, David? Rich man, poor man.
I was going to think that rich people eat snails and poor people will also eat snails if they need to eat.
Well, again, it is one of our weird food things.
Yeah,
it's at the top and the bottom.
You guys took that from me in the beginning.
No, it's all right. We stole a little of your thunder. Sorry. I'm not sure about poor people eating snails, but your point is well taken, especially because it's ours. People that are rich eat exotic stuff and people are poor and just hunt for their food in general. Middle class doesn't go out. They go to the supermarket to get their food. Rich goes out shooting for some food, and so does the poor, like Jed Clampett. Tim? Rich man, poor man. What do you got?
Light. Excessive Christmas light. Poor people, they put them up to cover up their house.
Mm-hmm.
People to accentuate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think the extreme does the extreme. The extreme rich and the extreme poor. It is funny when you see people that don't seem to have car insurance and can't afford a retainer for their kids' crooked teeth, but they're going balls out on Christmas this year. They have an animatronic Santa Claus that's on the roof of the house. The roof is falling apart, but they got $1,500 tied up in the Santa. I feel like it's overcompensation, but there's a part of me that sort of appreciates it, too. Like when a guy goes sick on his van or his car, the car's only worth $1,000, but he has $5,000 worth of crap stuck to it. I don't know if it's overcompensation. I don't know if it's stupidity. There's a part of me that kind of likes it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's part of me that kind of likes it when people get lost in something they probably have no business getting lost. Enough for the rich guy doing up the house, well, that doesn't matter because they have more money than God. Poor man, it becomes an obsession. This is the only thing he has in life. Middle class, always scared.
It's sort of, though, the bad, you know, what they have in common is the bad interior decorating sense. You know, like the gold lamé stuff. Like, all you have to do is watch the MTV show about my house.
Yes,
show,
Cribs.
Cribs. Mm-hmm. The worst taste you've ever seen, all gold lamé and tiger skin rugs. Same thing in the poor man's
house. You know, there's a certain, if you just think about it, because I remember being super, super poor, and there's a certain liberating feeling to being super poor. I'll tell you, you think that rich people have so much money, they don't care about money. Well, poor people have so few dollars, they don't care about it. It's liberating. It is.
Nothing to lose.
No, it really is. When you're in the middle class, you're thinking, I have to maintain my position. I got to keep my mortgage payment up. I want my kids to go to college so that they can have a better life than I had, and they don't have to work so hard and blah, blah, blah. When you're poor, it's like, F it. I don't care. Poor people don't care about car insurance. What are you going to do? They live in an apartment. The car that they're driving is the most valuable thing they have, and that's worth $900. So sue me. That's so sue-me attitude. Rich people, screw it. I have insurance. I have attorneys. Doesn't matter. I got more money than God. I'm never going to run through what I have. The middle class is constantly scared. I've been on both ends of the spectrum, I must say. And either way, you don't think about money that much. I remember my dad, I don't know what happened. Oh, I got sick. I got sick around the big earthquake in 94. I had to take a few days off work. I wasn't getting paid. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any insurance or something. And my dad never dispatched much advice in his life. I never really sat down and talked to him about anything. But he did say to me when he realized I was 6 months away from my 30th birthday, and I literally had about $250 to my name, and I couldn't afford to go to the hospital or go see a doctor or go to a pharmacist or get medicine or anything. I just had to sort of sit home and ride it out. He said, you know, you really should put some money aside. I mean, even if you just have a savings account that has $1,000 in it, in case there's an emergency, because my family, it's unclear whether they have no money or they're just not willing to part with the very little money that they have. Either way, they're not a safety net. You know, they're not going to, no one in my family is going to jump in and bail you out. I assume it's because they don't have any of the money, but maybe that's just because they want you to think that way. Either way, he said, my dad dispatched some of the only advice he'd ever dispatched in his life. He said, why don't you put a little money aside? And I said, Dad, this either is going to work or it's not. This thing called life, this thing called showbiz, this thing called comedy, it'll either work or it won't. Either way, I'm going for it, and I'm not going to put money aside. It's just that, not worth it.
So you dispatched the advice, the good advice, but you decided not to take it.
Right, which turned out to be good advice.
Right.
I mean, a good move for me. Oh, yes. Oh, that's. I would oftentimes do that. I've said many times, I treat my family like that one guy who loses every time he gambles on a football game. Mike August, our bookers that way. Come Sunday, everyone wants to know who he likes for this week's games. Who do you like? You like Denver or Minnesota? I like Denver. All right. All the money goes over to Minnesota. That's how we use it. We use them that way. Well, look, that's as accurate as the guy who wins all the time. Once you figure out if a guy's a winner or a loser, what you don't want to do is find the guy who's about 500. That guy's not good for anything. My family, you either want to have the winner family where everything they give, every piece of wisdom that comes out of their mouth is a pearl, or you want the loser family. Nah, I won't say which one my family was. Let's see. Oh, I like this one. Brian?
Yeah.
Rich man, poor man?
How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Just coming, getting off work right now.
Mm-hmm. Bad sign. Where do you work?
I work for a company called, I don't know if I could say, Advanced Sleep Medicine. Mm-hmm. We study sleep disorders.
I'm fascinated. And what do you do?
I basically monitor the people while they're sleeping, make sure they don't croak while they're sleeping, and try to fix the problems that they have
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, watching someone else sleep for work. That's pretty grim.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever screw around with them, like put shaving cream in their hand and then tickle their nose with a feather? Because I'd have to keep myself occupied and amused, you know?
Yeah, I usually just cruise the internet and read and let them sleep.
Yeah. The you know how I complain constantly about making fun of fairy tale football and how the lost productivity and all that kind of stuff? It has now invaded my own home.
What?
Yes. I have a guy who shows up about 3 days a week at my house and helps my wife out. You know, market, clean up, oral, stuff like that.
Right.
I now come home and I turn on the computer and it's his fantasy football league
is
on my home computer.
Oh,
now.
No.
I'm now paying somebody to come to my home and check their fantasy football scores.
Thank you, Corolla, very much, Dave.
Wow. It's one thing if the guy next to you in the cubicle is wasting time. He's not working on the Jenkins account with you. He's checking out his ESPN fantasy football league. That's fine. It's another thing when a guy comes to your home and you're paying him by the hour and you know for at least some portion of that hour he was sitting at your desk chair checking his computer score.
Was his cheesy team name readily visible?
I didn't even get that far with it. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who are we talking to, Brian?
Yes.
What's going on?
The rich man
poor man. Yes.
Yeah. I was saying strange porn or just weird porn.
Mm.
Usually really poor people, you know, like the seedy porn shops got the $2 bargain bin porn, which is God knows what. Mm-hmm. And then really rich people can pay for stuff, I don't know, like snuff porn.
Yeah, exotic extremes and just about everything. Food, porn, just extremes. Sexually extreme. Hmm?
Yes.
I got one I like right here. Adrian?
Yes.
Rich man, poor man.
Tan. People that have a tan. Like they're the farmers that get paid next to nothing over.
Yeah, see the homeless guy who doesn't see shade. Except for when the sun goes down, he's got a constant tan pushing the cart around. And then they're the ones that are going to the spray salons or just lying by the side of their Olympic-sized swimming pool. Good one.
Yeah.
Hmm? Okay. I guess we're more impressed with you than you are, Adrian.
I'm just early, tired.
I understand. I like the people that can muster the energy to dial the phone, but that's about it. Like in some crime drama from the 70s when somebody's trying to call the police department, but they die just before they can talk into the phone. That last, hello? Hello?
Well, he just woke up. The previous caller was just watching him sleep the entire time.
I understand. Look, here's what I would say. If you only have enough energy to make one phone call, call 911. Don't call this show. But still, Tan, the man is right.
Yes.
All right, we need to take a break. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, you may have heard about celebrities charging to show up at parties. Mm. Who charges $45,000? Who charges $15,000? Who charges $20,000?
This is not a band playing at a party. This is not somebody doing stand-up or spinning plates. It's just someone just showing up and mingling.
To show up, absolutely.
And I would bet, and we'll get into it, but I would bet that part of the deal is you can't talk about being paid to show up.
Right. Exactly, but somehow it's leaked out who gets what. Ooh. And in fact, a guest who's been on our show recently gets $20,000 a party.
If you're throwing a party, I'm ready to go.
How much?
Open bar. If there's an open bar, I'll come for free. and I won't say a word. I won't say that you paid me or you enticed me. It'll just be one of these things where we're talking and I'll go, so how do you know Bert? And they'll pause and go, you mean Brent? And I'll go, yeah, I call him Bert. And then I'll laugh like a maniac. You want something from the bar? That'll be it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports after this. I've been hanging
around. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Sorry, peeps. I got that damn song stuck in my nugget. I'd rather hear a song that the kids like. Something rocking like Cherry Pie by Warren. They'll be in here to play it live. Also in the studio, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Phil Angelides, 72-year-old meth head Sarah, Hef's three girlfriends, and your chance to win more Playboy Mansion tickets. Boobs, the ace man in rock and roll. That's what I call a show. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Power rock band from the 80s, Warrant, is setting up. We're going to do the live strip club announcer. Live and custom made.
Yes, it's their first acoustic set on radio, yeah?
So it says. So they'll be banging away on their acoustic guitars and bass guitar and whatnot, and they'll be doing Cherry Pie, and I'll be doing custom-made strip call announcers just for you. But first, Teresa Strasser in the news.
Well, imagine you have a Picasso. It's worth $139 million, and you've just sold it. So you decide to show some of your friends your beautiful $139 million Picasso. That's what happened to Las Vegas casino owner Steve Wynn. He was showing his friends Le Rêve, The Dream, which is his Picasso that had just sold, when he poked his elbow through it, making a finger-sized hole through the canvas. This is an account, according to The New Yorker, is also on the HuffPost, and both accounts say that Wynn has decided to release the buyer from the sale agreement, thus keeping the painting for himself.
I feel like if porn star Peter North and boxing announcer Michael Buffer had a kid, it would be Steve Wynn.
Yes, that's a good mix.
Look them both up. I think you.
Yeah.
And you could do a hell of a lot worse than those two guys for your dads.
That's true.
You want to talk about range? Let's get ready to decorate! Thank you.
Okay, in entertainment news. Now, normally...
They call him the decorator. That's tough.
Normally, yeah. I would not bother you with Dancing with the Stars, but it was an extra special episode because of the untimely departure of country singer Sarah Evans, who's in the middle of an ugly, ugly divorce. So it came down to the bottom two. And no one knew what was going to happen. It was down to Joey Lawrence or Jerry Springer. Take a listen.
Joey and Editha, Jerry and Kim. On our sixth week of competition, the couple with the lowest score and therefore leaving right now. Neither of you.
Shocker.
Sarah left.
Right.
Poor Jerry, because he's been trying to get out of the competition for like the last 9 weeks, and they won't kick him off. Week number three, actually defecated in the middle of stage and screamed, "Somebody kill me."
Last week, he dressed up as a matador and smashed a guitar.
He's clearly the worst. He knows he's there. He's the clown prince of Dancing with the Stars, and he's trying to get out, but no one will vote him out. He's dying to get back to Cincinnati and mount some prostitutes, and he can't do it.
Well, and the good news also about last night's show is I know none of us have seen enough of Eva Longoria. So she showed up on Dancing with the Stars. This was not on the results show, but the night before, because she went out dancing with Mario Lopez to show him how the samba's done.
Here's all I have to say about Eva Longoria. We're not obsessed with her. I feel like I need to say that all the time to the folks that are trying to spoon feed her to us. But it's like Terry Hatcher, same thing. You know, you interview these people, and what's their idea of a good night? Oh, I'm a homebody. What do you mean? Big celebrity? You know what? My ideal evening is to have some popcorn, open some champagne, invite the girls over. We just get in our PJs, and we watch an old movie, and that's how we like to do it, just cuddle up the good book. Why are you out every single night? Why is there not an opening? There are other people's events that you're at constantly. It's not your own thing. It's not what's going on over in Wisteria Lane over there. It is just an opening of anything, and you are there.
Yes, Eva she was overexposed about 20 appearances ago.
Let me tell everybody the best part about showbiz, making money. You get to make money. Then you get to buy stuff. Either it's Ferraris or it's hookers or it's Coke or it's a huge saltwater fish tank. Either way, you spend that money that you make in showbiz, you put it in your house, and then you just sit home, suck off a bong, and watch your exotic fish.
I'm glad you mentioned celebrities making money, because now the new trend is many celebrities are earning money just for showing up at a party, not performing, just showing up because it makes, you know, some publicity for the party. Who is doing this and how much do they make? Now, I mentioned one of our guests that we've had recently on the show gets $20,000 per party, which is actually pretty high. That's Dave Navarro.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
So it seems cool. if Navarro's at your party.
Sure, it's worth 20 grand of coolness.
But are these parties, are these private parties or sort of company parties?
I think a lot of them are like L'Oreal invites you to the Smashbox studio kind of thing.
Little known secret of the corporate world is a lot of celebs, a lot of your Jon Stewarts of the world, a lot of your comedians, your Jay Lenos, your guys out there, they will do the corporate thing and they will make 250, 300 grand a pop. And it is just for 20 minutes of work. The corporate jet will pick them up. They'll fly them over because they're having a little meeting. You know, it's Pfizer or Upjohn or some big company. Jon Stewart will go in there, make a ton of cash, and come back.
Absolutely. Now, the highest earner that's been in the news, this is unbelievable, but Paris Hilton told British GQ that she had an appearance in Austria where she was just to wave at the crowd $1 million.
Wow.
She generally makes, you know, anywhere from, it's been reported by her, 500 grand, sometimes 1 to 200 grand, but she has made up to $1 million. Now, on the low end, you got 15 grand for K-Fed. I think he does a lot of these. And on the low, low end, for 7 grand, you can get season 2 American Idol winner Ruben Studdard. Mm-hmm. And for $1,000, you can get former Idol finalist Kimberly Caldwell. You throw in another 1,500 and she'll sing.
Mm. All right. All right.
Now, here's a sad story about a little boy in Pennsylvania, 10 years old. He went out with his parents for the day. I don't know if you know this town, Monica. Do you know that town, Dave, Pennsylvania?
Oh, Monaca.
Monaca. Thank you. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. That's helpful. So he was in Monaca with his folks. Now, both of his parents were drinking, and they drove in separate cars. So the 10-year-old boy decided to go home with his dad. When his dad was driving, he hit a guard rail because he was trying to light a marijuana pipe. So the boy wasn't hurt, but he thought, you know what? I don't think I'd like to drive with dad anymore. He refused to get back in the car. Then the wife pulled up, and he said, I don't want to drive with you, Mom, because you're drunk. So he ended up walking down the freeway alone. Cops came because somebody called and said there's a 10-year-old boy walking alone. And he said, listen, dad's high and mom's drunk, and I just prefer to walk myself home. Mm-hmm. So the cops went home and found the dad passed out and the mom high. They were both arrested for DUI, reckless endangerment, and child endangerment. Then the mom told reporters what he did was not right. Speaking of the boy.
I agree.
Do you?
Yes. Mommy's going to take a 3 to 7 year timeout. Depending on how adequately she's represented in court.
Well,
I will listen. I know my kids. Let me tell you something. My kids are coming up on 5 months old. The radio's on at my house. I know they don't speak the language yet, but I believe they pick things up. You know, they say they're little sponges. Listen, little Natalia, whatever the boy's name is, I will beat the bejesus out of you. It'll be the last thing I do while the cops are dragging me out if you ever rat daddy out. Once in a while, you hear these stories. Oh, she called 911 on her own father because she found cocaine in his sock drawer. And everyone says, oh, that is so brave. Uh-uh. I don't tolerate snitches or rats. When you kids drop the dime on the ace man, I will beat the bejesus out of you with a slipper while the cops are dragging me out of the house.
Well, I don't know what goes on over there with their legal system, but the boy was temporarily taken to his grandparents. He's now back with his parents, according to the Beaver County Times.
Oh, that's it. You don't want to end up with your grandparents. I got to tell you, my kids have very limited choices in the grandparent department. My mother-in-law is a whacked out, crazy Jesus freak who talks like the mother vulture from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. Crazy Italian talk. Thank God you can't understand a goddamn word she's saying, but she is nuts and into God. My father-in-law lives in a trailer somewhere. I have to buy everybody cars. You kids are going to be eating generic Top Ramen. You do not want to go with your grandparents.
Well, lastly, on a program,
you'd rather go to an evil orphanage.
I thought you were going to say Eva Longoria for a second.
Nah,
so that was worse.
That'd be all right.
On a programming note, we made news, the San Jose Mercury News, because today we are having on Phil Angelides, who, of course, is taking on Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. And here is their lead. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger got tonight's show. His Democratic rival, Phil Angelides, is settling for the Adam Carolla radio show.
Sloppy seconds.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Thank you.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. do it, Dave?
Tonight, New York City, National League Championship Series, Game 7, Cardinals, Mets, a trip to the World Series on the line. It's such an undeniably big game. Even noted baseball detractor Adam Carolla is reportedly going to watch at least an inning or two.
Oh, yeah.
Until America's Next Top Model or some car show about cars starts.
Yeah.
How'd we get here? Mets took Game 6 last night in Queens, 4-2. Interesting how these long playoff series turn into a war of attrition. Both teams have run out of their top-of-the-line pitchers, leaving us with a matchup now of less than stellar Cardinals pitcher Jeff Supan and Mets Oliver Perez. Neither's going to the Hall of Fame, but they can secure a place in the hearts of their fans forever with a win tonight. In Oliver Perez's case, he can win a place in the heart of Mets fan Jim Brusca, where it will reside forever next to some leftover gabagool. Hey, there's been a lot of talk about this Denny Green blow-up, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, they blew that 20-point lead on Monday Night Football in front of a national TV audience. It was terrible, and he had a huge blow-up after the game. We've played it a couple of times already now, yelling, gesticulating, banging things. Then the next day, he gave another press conference where he said essentially the exact same thing, but in very dulcet tones. And now it's been turned into an entire commercial. Listen to this.
Blowing a 20-point lead in front of an entire nation got you down?
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Make Zoloft a part of your game plan.
We played them like we thought about them.
Tackle your depression and go from this.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
To this.
If you want to crown them after 5 games and now 6 games, 6-0, go right ahead.
Ask your doctor about Zoloft or just get some from Terrell Owens.
Damashek's number one sports.
I think Brian's on some Zoloft.
It's these moments that give the show a folksy charm.
Yes. You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
All right.
I felt compelled to speak after the long silence, but you're pointing at Brian the whole time, so I wasn't sure what to do.
Well, you know, when I do the slit my throat thing, I'm not trying to do an impression of a University of Miami football player. I'm saying that's the end of sports. Mm-hmm. One thing I do want to bring up, though, quickly is that there's a big thing going around that 7 NFL stadiums have received terrorist threats, supposedly. Mm-hmm. The Homeland Security says, not a big deal, but they have warned 7 stadiums, Dolphins, Jets, Falcons, Seahawks, Texans, Raiders, and Browns, their stadiums are all theoretically at risk of a dirty bomb.
Be the best thing that ever happened to the Raiders. I got to be honest with you. I know it's controversial, but any Raider fan will agree with me.
I was going to say, I have a hunch that little internet posting was made by head coach Art Schell. Please just cancel our game.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that every stadium's at
Well, I'm rarely, so we I'm rarely happy that L.A. doesn't have a professional football team, but this is one weekend I'll take it. Dr. Bruce, who I met many years ago, he used to fill in for Dr. Drew on Loveline, board certified and all that. Dr. Bruce?
Yo.
Tell us about radiation poisoning, how it works, dirty bombs, and what we can do about it.
Well, one of the primary isotopes that's released is iodine, radioactive iodine. And it turns out that the thyroid actively accumulates this substance. And one of the primary complications of radioactive exposure, radiation exposure is...
Just to be clear, a dirty bomb is a conventional explosive device that spreads radioactive material, not a nuclear bomb, which also spreads it, but that's harder to make, harder to get, right?
In actuality, a radioactive dirty bomb is a smorgasbord of isotopes. You really don't know what you're going to get. With a nuclear reactor, you're definitely going to get iodine isotope. So it turns out the government's responsible to educate the public and tell them that they should have something called potassium iodide tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And these are over-the-counter. They should be available at most pharmacies, and as I said, the government should have them stockpiled. But so far, I think Tennessee, Texas, I don't think California does, but maybe they do now. But anyway...
What are these called again?
Potassium iodide.
And you would keep those on you?
Well, if there is exposure to radioactive iodine, it's best if this is taken beforehand, but since you're not going to know about it, ideally taken within 12 hours.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you could keep it at home.
Yeah, absolutely. People really shouldn't. A place like California, you know, the West Coast, any proximity to a nuclear reactor, because that's a terrorist.
The whole thing about this dirty bombs or any kind of explosion of this nature, you're supposed to get upwind, right? You have to figure out which way the wind is blowing, which way the fallout is going, and get on the other side of it.
Right. If you're not glowing red, you know, if you're that close, you're toast, and you're not. Potassium iodide is not going to help. But inhalation and ingestion are the primary routes of getting the stuff in your system. Mm-hmm. So don't buy the decontamination kits where they have a special wash. That doesn't matter. Like with Chernobyl, most of the harm was done by kids drinking milk. And the younger you are, the more risk you're at for thyroid complications. Mm-hmm. So thyroid cancer, hypothyroidism are the primary complications.
All right, so you can keep these pills or you can buy these pills. And what else? Is there anything else you can do?
No, that's the primary thing. I mean, other than, like you said, really staying upwind of the cloud, which that's about all you can do. But the potassium iodide's available. It's, you know, like 8 cents a pill or something crazy like that.
Sounds like too much to me.
Readily available over the internet. Possibly difficult to find at your local pharmacy where you should be able to get it.
All right, Bruce. Sounds like you're saying that government isn't doing enough to protect its citizens.
No, possibly. You should have the Adam Carolla radiation kit.
Yeah.
Available to all your football fans.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce.
Well, I've had anal sex and I've passed out a couple times.
Bruce, please. The mics are still hot. We'll bring Phil Angelides in here, who's running for, governor of California. I am curious why it seems like we have endless amounts of money to spend on certain things, like explaining that smoking is bad or that secondhand smoke kills or buckle your seatbelt. There's certain things like that. And yet, when it comes to checking cargo that comes in through the port of Los Angeles or San Francisco, we don't have the funding for that.
Smoking sucks.
Certain things, we seem to have a bottomless wallet. Oh, we could never spend all the money that we want to talk about smoking. I know that's generated by selling cigarettes oftentimes, but it just seems like there's certain things we hit way too hard, and then other things where you watch 2020 and John Stossel's talking to someone, he's talking to some scientists, and they're saying, oh, you mean the vaccination would cost $1.50 a citizen, and we wouldn't have to worry about radiation, whatever? Yeah. What's the government doing? Nothing. They'd rather build another freeway sign to tell you to put your seatbelt on. I wonder if that's intentional. Here's a question. Are they stupid? Is the government stupid? Or do they believe this kind of talk would panic the citizens and they don't want to do that? And they'd rather have you focus on frivolous stuff that doesn't affect you because it makes you feel good. You drive along the freeway and every 5 miles you pass a sign that says put your seatbelt on and you think, oh, I already have my seatbelt on. No problemo. I love the government. I don't mind paying my taxes. But if you pass a sign that says, do you have your radioactive whatever, you might freak out. I don't know. Or are they even smart enough to get that far along as far as the thinking goes? Anyway, we will talk to Phil Angelides soon enough. Oh, I got some stuff to talk to him about. I promise I'll let him talk this time. My wife and my nanny yelled at me for not letting him talk when he called in.
He was a good sport about it, and he also told the San Jose Mercury News that he may or may not be singing with Warrant if asked.
Well, we will do that. We will do the Warrant is here, 80s hair band Warrant, who doesn't have the hair anymore. They're going to play Cherry Pie. Well, let's hear the song. Let's hear the Warrant song we play all the time.
She's my cherry pie.
That's right. Now, we're going to do the live version of that, and I will do the live strip club DJ with that behind me, and then I will craft my strip club DJ for you. You will call in, you will tell me your name and your height and your weight and your job and your cat's name, and I will do a custom greeting for you. All right, but next, something we did late yesterday and thought we'd get to it earlier today. This is Kung Flute. This is the Japanese flute. When you hear this, that means it will be. Whatever somebody said, I don't care how outrageous the proclamation, it will come to be. It will come to pass. You hear that. Now, otherwise, it's just bragging. If I said, hey, T, I got my schwanz.
Yeah.
22 inches long, flaccid. If you don't hear the flute, sure, Ace Man.
Doesn't seem.
Now let's try.
Awesome. Oh.
Uh-huh. Intrigued?
Yeah.
That's right. I'd use it on you if I wasn't so busy with it myself. As a matter of fact, I need to stop talking to make room. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I think maybe Phil Angelides could use this to beat Arnold.
I'll tell you, as far as government goes, it would be great. I like to run for governor, and I just get up there and go, I'll put an end to gridlock congestion. I'll put an end to drug use. There'll be zero unemployment when I'm in charge. There'll be no more crime. Don't believe me? Talk to Kim Chi. Nice job, buddy.
He's your flautist.
That's my flautist, yes. We'll take a quick break. You call in 866-901-ADAM. You tell us your fantastic proclamation, and we'll make it all come true via the Kung Flute after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Poser.
The Adam Carolla Show. Get back to the Adam Carolla Show. This time around, Adam proves that anything is possible as long as there's an Asian flute in the background.
One day, old lady catches you. You come home. There's lipstick on your collar. She accuses you of cheating. Honey, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never even been to a strip club. Don't believe me? Pot roast or meatloaf tonight, sweetie?
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I decided a few weeks back that if you heard that Asian flute in any movie, that meant it was going to happen. You know that part? That part where the young kid got his ass kicked by the bully, but he swore one day he'd get his revenge, and then you heard this? It meant he was very serious. It was going to happen. And I thought to myself, much like, you know, there's a couple things I'd like from the movies in my reality, in my real life. One of them is a nice montage scene. I don't need 100 a year, just a couple a year montage. I'm painting a bathroom. We start with me. We do that thing where my wife tips her head around the door and I go across and paint her nose and we laugh. But next thing you know, it's finished instead of the actual tedious, you know, a 9-hour job of painting your bathroom. I want one montage scene a year and just a handful of Asian flautists that follow me around so people know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'll barge into Jack Silver's office and I'll go, let me tell you something. Well, hold on a second. Come on. We will be number one, and we will be number one in even markets that we're not in. How's that possible, Ace Man? Oh, yeah? Ask Kim Chi. See what I'm saying? Now it will be. We have a couple examples. I think we have The Karate Kid. We have Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah, when Miyagi takes on Kreese, John Kreese in the Cobra Kai's.
Let him go.
Yeah, this Miyagi's right. Let him go.
I say, let him go.
Beat it, Smoke, or you're next.
It's ass-kicking time when you hear that. What else? We have another? We have a Kill Bill? One more.
And if you throw any American sass his way, he'll snap your back and your neck like they were twigs. And that will be the story of you.
Tell you what's on my docket for later today. Gonna go home. I'm gonna invent a kind of bacon that cures cancer. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You don't believe me?
That's
impossible. Nice. Tell that to Kim Chi. I don't think so. Then I'm gonna ride a Pegasus to North Korea and beat Kim Jong Il the second in a death round of Connect Four.
Oh, stop being silly. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I'm also going to train my kids as expert swordsmen, and we're going to start calling ourselves Strike Force Carolla.
But they're little babies.
This is a two-part fluter, by the way. Then I go to Afghanistan. That's all right. Strike Force Carolla goes to Afghanistan, and we capture Osama bin Laden.
You and a couple of babies?
Godspeed. Look out, Benny Laden.
All right, let's talk to Paul. Paul?
Yes.
Do you have any fantastic proclamations?
Yes, I do. I do. My proclamation is I'm going to head to the Playboy Mansion with the Adam Carolla Show on the 26th of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get some Asian food on that?
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to need a lot of Asian food for that one. You don't have tickets, do you?
Not yet, but I'm hoping I can persuade you to throw me a couple.
Well, I'd toss a few your way, Paul, if I'd know it was going to happen if I heard some Asian flu. Let's... Oh, I'm sorry.
Kim
Chi
takes
Paul.
A break.
I'm sorry.
Better use that flute as a pole vault to jump over the wall.
Adriana?
Hi.
What's going on, baby doll?
Oh, man, I need some of that Asian flute.
Mm.
I need... Well, first off, can we turn it on a little bit?
You want to hear it in the background?
Yes, please.
All right. You don't want Kim Chi to run out of wind, though, in the middle of your proclamation.
Sorry. I'm going to go to my boss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell her I'm not working this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell her if she doesn't wax her lip, I won't take her seriously anymore.
Wow.
It looks like a walrus.
Yeah.
And I will personally pluck it for her if she doesn't do it herself soon.
I like the chicks that refuse to wax their upper lip, but they will bleach the upper lip, so they look like Nick Nolte circa 1979. Hey, that's a nice big blonde mustache you have there. Do you think we can't see a mustache on a blonde guy? There are plenty of blonde guys that grow a mustache, and you go, nice mustache. You don't go, hey, yeah, I got a mustache. No, you don't. I can't see it. I'm standing 2 feet away. You're a blonde guy, and then you reach out and feel it. Oh, yes, I guess you do have a mustache. A lot of chicks, or at least they used to back in the day, they would bleach that black mustache hair. Why not just wax it, T?
Because we all had that Jolene cream bleach from the drugstore, and waxing... You know, it's painful. I personally think it's worth it.
Oh, so does our flautist.
I will go to the laser hair removal salon, and it will never come back.
Yeah, that's a lie. Chris?
Hello, sir.
You have a proclamation?
I do, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to receive oral from Angelina Jolie, which I understand is a tall order, and I don't know if Kim Chi can come up with the wind for that.
Mm.
But my backup, your own Teresa Strasser.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No problema.
Aim low.
Oh, that's good.
Speaking of aiming low, Kim Chi's getting it from T right now.
Oh, man.
He's running out of air, so she's blowing.
His flute.
Oh, that's great.
Tell you what I got in store for later on today. I'm going to win the X Games by doing the first ever mid-air 1440.
Wow.
Yeah.
Physically impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Congratulations in advance.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Then I'm going to light a fart that's going to propel me to the moon like a rocket, where I'm going to win the first ever low-gravity boxing championship against Mike Tyson in a spacesuit.
There's no such sport, though.
Mm-hmm. Tell that to Kim Chi. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Anything else you'd like?
A job while you're at it. You know, that'd be cool.
All right. No, sorry. I feel like people, you know, people call in psychics and they want to know their future, or people want to rub their lucky whatever. I feel like if you really need something, we could accommodate you with our Asian flute as well. A job, a new car, change of address, new girlfriend, new boyfriend. Yes?
Start sending people out, so Kim Chi out on job interviews with people to back them
up.
Tell you the last thing I'm going to do after I'm done with all the other things I said I was going to do after work today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to gather up several thousand strippers, and we're going to do an all-topless recreation of the Battle of Gettysburg.
That seems...
What? Sounds fantastic.
I don't...
Nah. Uh-huh. It will be. We're going to also try to figure out something to do with 80s saxophone. Because that means something as well.
What does that mean?
It means you're getting laid, or you're going to kick some ass, or you're going to walk in slow motion with other 80s guys. I'm not sure. We have to figure it out. We have to isolate it, but that will definitely be following on the heels of Asian flute. Okay, we need to take a break. Oh, quickly, John is on the phone. John?
How's it going, everybody?
John was in studio for 4 hours yesterday listening to this on a continuous loop with an eye shade on for deprivation. So he could not see anything. He could not hear anything except for Brusca, who felt somehow compelled or obsessed with pulling his earphones off and asking him how he was doing or something. It was a weird thing. If I didn't know any better, I'd bet that he paid Brusca in advance or something. Brusca felt responsible for him. Maybe because it's on he's on the cusp of fatherhood or something that he felt responsible for young John. I was willing to let him rot or die or both sitting on that stool for 4 hours. But Brusca would break up the monotony of it every once in a while by poking you with a hockey stick or talking in your headphones. Have you been able to get that song out of your head?
For slim moments at a time. And I go, and then it's right back.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you can hear it right now?
Yeah, it's constant almost. In fact, I can almost hear two versions of it. They're a little off sync, but...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to focus? Are you able to work today?
I'm going to go in and try. Whether I get anything done or not remains to be seen.
Well, I'd hate for you to take your own life before the 26th when we saw you at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, that would be... That's my goal in life now, is to stay alive until next Friday.
And do me a favor. Again, John won the Playboy tickets by listening to this for 4 hours with a shade over his eyes and headphones on. Just make me this one promise. If you do something crazy, if this song has driven you to the point where you decide it's a good idea to go into work and shoot up the place or take your own life or just take your car and drive into oncoming traffic or something, if you're going to leave a note, please do not include this morning show. You know what I mean? Blame your parents, blame your God, blame your principal, blame your gym coach. Don't do the thing, because I don't want to be implicated.
You got it, man.
Thanks, John. Glad to see you landed on your feet. Well, it will come. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, I think we have Sarah, our 72-year-old meth head, not here yet, but she will be in, yes? Mm-hmm. And Warren.
Yes.
80s hair band Warren, who actually was doing a little sound check in here a few moments ago and sounded pretty damn good, at least according to our own Teresa Strasser.
Yeah.
They're going to play live for us. They're going to back me up. I'm going to do a custom strip club. I don't know if we ever figured out all the criteria of the custom strip club announcer. You call in, you tell us your age, you tell us your job, a hobby, a pet name. I'll make it up for you custom. 866-901-ADAM. Warren will be banging away in the background.
Because they sing the definitive strip club song.
Thank you. This is them. All right, we'll be back with that after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. 80s rockers Warrant return with a brand new CD, Born Again. California from Warrant Born Again. Warrant on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Good morning.
As you may have learned, we've been playing your Cherry Pie quite often whenever I do my strip club DJ. We've decided to custom make my calls this time. You call in, you females. Even a dude could call in every once in a while, but I'd like to talk to the ladies. You tell us your name, you tell us your job, you tell us kid's name or hobbies or your cat's name, pet's name, and I will work you into a custom strip club DJ.
Song.
And you will have Warrant playing live Cherry Pie behind you. So how did this get started? I mean, what is Cherry Pie about?
What's it about, Eric?
Is it?
I've always wondered this. What is the meaning?
But no dudes.
It's below the waist and above the knee.
All right, so okay. It is what it is.
This is a children's show. Can
we say that?
But the inspiration for Cherry Pie was someone had a boner.
Basically, yeah. I mean,
it's you know, U2 sits around and they see what's going on in Darfur and they write a song about it. Warrant gets a boner and they write a song about it.
We were spending a lot of time in strip bars on our first tour, so the second album came around and that was very inspiring and touching and warm and fuzzy.
It was a good way to get in free all the time. How can we work this angle?
Yeah, it is. It is a great. It's probably the number one strip bar song. You guys are from where?
Los Angeles, originally.
Yeah, basically California. Steve's from Ohio. Mm-hmm. Jamie's from
Oregon originally.
So
tree hugger.
So you guys form in the mid '80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, early mid-80s.
84, 85, 86, 87, then 88, we got a record deal, 89, first record came out.
It says 87 you recorded a demo on Prince's label.
Yeah. He was interested in us. We did a demo, he passed on it, and mm-hmm. then we shopped it mm-hmm. and got our deal, so...
And then,
thanks, little buddy.
What was it like?
thanks for the doski.
God bless the purple one.
The check's in the mail. We'll pay you back.
Then you guys go out, and you go out with Motley Crue and Poison and David Lee Roth. I mean, was it just booze and sex and drugs nonstop, talking late 80s or early 90s, going out on the road at that time?
True.
I don't remember.
All right, so you guys
can... No one remembers.
I drank a fifth.
You guys can do... I got it. You guys can do Cherry Pie Live and acoustic for us, right?
Sure. Yeah, we're going to try. We've never done that before. The song wasn't written for acoustic. It's not a...
Well, I'm wondering... I'm wondering if we should start new with every call, or you guys just keep playing Cherry Pie and we just keep mowing through some calls.
That's your call.
Should we hear a little first?
Yeah. All right, let's hear it. Can we... give us a little taste.
A taster.
Yeah. You tell us when to stop.
Ace, why don't you warm up while they're doing it by using Teresa as your muse?
Okay.
And by the way, you can call at 866-901-ADAM.
That's right. Own. Yeah. All right. For Steve. I'll warm up on you, T.
Okay,
we?
Good.
Yeah.
You
going
to sing with us?
Count it out, baby.
It's going to hurt.
1, 2, 3, 4.
She's my cherry. It is Teresa Strasser. She claims to be 29. I'd like to see some ID. Tell you, if a Betty's too old, she don't get in the club. She's all ass and schnoz, but she'll come in even if she's vomiting. You want to tell you, what if I, Teresa Strasser, talk to pedophiles, 186 who live within a mile of her crappy apartment. Hey, if you love Koreans and you love Koreatown, head down to Teresa Strasser's place. Believe me, the water's warm. Just tap out, there'll be a guy eating and crying by the side of her bed. Feels good.
Everybody right. Sounds great.
Oh, my stomach hurts from laughing. That was good.
Sorry, baby doll, you know.
It's good shtick. Ouch, man.
It's just not funny to focus on the positive.
He's got game, man. He's got game over there.
But yeah, Warren
Watch
sounds
out,
great.
Saint.
Let's, they not?
Let's talk. Oh, yeah. Anna?
Hi.
All right, so name Anna.
It's actually Anna.
All right, now I'm angry.
This is going to get ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to keep going, Anna.
Jump, Anna. Stay on.
Anna, what do you have a pet?
Yeah, I have a dog named Molly.
Molly, that's my dog's name. All right. Dog's,
yeah, I know.
Dog's name is Molly. And let's see, what do you do for a living?
I'm a nanny.
Nanny?
Yeah.
Mm. What do you look like?
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Got milk.
What do I look like?
Yeah.
I have brown hair, brown eyes. I'm little.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like 5'2".
All right, 5'2". All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what we can do with Anna. All right? Are you ready? We'll do a little live, little cherry pie, a little live Warren for you. We'll do a little custom strip club for you. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
3, 4. Jeez.
Quit your grin and drop your linen. Anna, don't call her Anna. She'll tell you a new one. I'll tell you what. I had to tell you something, fella. She's a spinner. All 5'2 of her. Hey, I'll tell you, she don't have to bend down to do her business. She got a dog named Molly, but it's a dude, so the dog's in therapy right now. She's a nanny, I'll tell you what. She may be a nanny to me. She's more of a wet nurse. I like to get a taste. Jade, stage 5, Jade. Businessman's lunch. All right. Hey, Anna?
Yeah.
I'll give me a 6 on that one, I got to tell you. I felt like I could have done better. I was a little thrown off on the Anna versus Anna part.
Sorry, I thought it was great.
All right. All right, baby doll.
Okay.
I'm looking for a new nanny.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I live in Sacramento, so I wouldn't really work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, because I'll commute. I mean, if you're hot, I'll bring the kids out to you.
Okay, that might work.
All right. Bye. Let's see. Now we have our intern, Lindsay, on line 3. Seems like cheating, doesn't it, Broskin?
Yeah, taking
time. I just think you'd know her. It'd be really good.
That's true. It's true. We do have things to talk about, like excessive alcohol consumption. Intern Lindsay?
Hi, Adam.
What's going on, baby doll?
Not much.
Have you guys seen Intern Lindsay?
No.
She's blonde and she's hot, and I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's in another room. I don't know. I think this is cheating. I don't like talking to someone who's in the next room. Yeah, you should just come in here and dance around for us.
Oh, yes.
Please come in here and dance around for Warren.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I feel like I need inspiration. Kim?
Hello?
What's going on, Kim?
Not too much.
All right, so Kim, let's see, hobbies, kids' names, dream job, favorite movie. What do you got for us?
Okay, well, hobbies, I would say reading.
Oh, this is going to be hot. Reading.
Reading.
My kind
of girl.
By the way, hold on a second. I want to just say this, because a lot of people do, like, hobbies or having a good time with friends and stuff. That's not a hobby. You know, hobbies where you don't have parts of your body moving, where you're reading. Yeah, listen to the ancient flowers. You don't believe me. Reading, nah, I'm not going to count that as a hobby. I want you to get into black powder rifles or building ships in bottles. Those are hobbies. You sitting around and moving your eyeballs, not a hobby.
Well, my husband is probably my hobby.
No.
My trip.
No.
He's my trip and fall.
I don't like that, and I don't like the guys who call their wives their best friend. First off, my wife doesn't even make my top 20 list. She knows it. She understands I'm gay that way. Thank God I'm not the real gay. And secondly, it makes all us look bad whose wives aren't our best friends. You know, for me, it's booze, it's my cars, it's Kimmel. It keeps going, and then it gets the old lady at some point. Boy, Kim, you are a disaster. Do you have a pet?
I have lots of lizards. Lizards and snakes.
You have lizards?
Yes.
And what do they do?
I have a legless lizard.
Well, hold on a second. Now, you know, yeah, I guess when you're a lizard, it doesn't... Yeah, you become...
A snake.
Yeah, that's what you become. Right.
Legs.
All right. Well, wait a minute. What line was she on? Kim?
Yes.
Why do you have a legless lizard?
Because it's extremely different and cool.
Well,
it kind of looks like a snake.
Most
people think it's a snake.
Right. Because it is.
Yeah. And they cuddle with you. They're cool.
Right. I have a dog, but it's furless, and it has scales on it and a huge mouth with huge teeth, and it lives in swamps.
And you have to walk it.
All right. I don't know. I don't know if I want to continue with you, Kim.
Can we get a physical description of Kim?
Oh, it's big.
Uh-oh. Kim?
Just close your eyes and picture the moon.
All right.
I think she's... Any time where the husband's your best buddy and you collect lizards and your hobby is something that involves you not moving, I'm going big.
Right.
200,
right.
200 plus, Kim?
Not even close.
What are you coming in at?
I am small and petite. 119, actually, is my exact weight.
But then that's a different look.
I wish you weren't a liar.
That's a chain smoking meth addict look.
Yeah.
Either way, there's something wrong here,
she's
Kim.
2 feet tall.
You think?
All right. So
how big up top?
Ooh, I'm gonna go small B cup.
No.
What are you?
A regular B. Good B.
Healthy
beef. So I was way off. I was way off. You sound like the delight, Kim. Do you have children?
I do.
Mm-hmm. What? You have
Charlie. I have a girl, Charlie.
Mm.
Little Charlie. Mm.
I'd like them removed from the house. I really would. I don't feel like they stand a chance. No?
Oh, that's not nice.
What do you do for a living?
I sell. I'm in sales.
What do you sell?
I sell mouse pads.
Sells mouse pads.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, never play this again.
Hold on a second. Imagine if I was setting you up with Kim. And you're like, tell me a little something about this gal. Well, she likes to read. She sells mouse pads for a living. She has a lot of pet lizards.
With no legs.
And,
no legs.
And well, a wild sense of humor.
Set her up with the strip club patrons, why don't you?
Okay. I think I'm going to do that. Kim?
Yes.
You ready to rock?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Little warrant for you.
2, 3, 4.
Hey, fellas, be prepared to be bored off your asses. Here comes Kim. When she's not reading, she's talking to reptiles. Who needs a coaster? Whoa, that's no coaster. That's a mouse pad. Get the hell out of Denver, you sons of bitches. Businessman's lunch between noon and 4, Monday through Friday. Quit your grinning and drop your leaning. Kim's hitting the stage. Speaking of sales, she is shaking her moneymaker. All right, all right. I feel like I did about the best I could do with you, Kim.
Oh, that's all right. I'm taking it off right now for you.
Here's $10. Never call the show again. Is your husband there?
He is.
What?
He gets very excited.
Shouldn't he be at work right now?
Right away.
I got a lifeless lizard going.
Oh, you, you guys work together?
No, we work by each other.
Oh, okay. That thing, these folks that start their own business and work, husbands and wives together, you have to be careful when you watch these stories on the news when you're sitting with your special person, not to wince or yell. Oh, my God, could you imagine? Been burned a few times.
Get a bruise on your knee.
By the way, intern Lindsay has appeared. I don't know if she would be an inspiration to you, but she says she will dance.
Oh, there she is.
Well, didn't we call her in here 10 minutes ago? There we go. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Beth. She's 30. Beth?
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
What do you got going on, Beth? Here with Warrant. They're playing a little acoustic Cherry Pie. I'm doing some custom-made strip club DJ calls for you. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm feeling for John because he's got falling burned into his brain. Well, mm-hmm. I just have to tell you that I have the vision of the lead singer of Warrant with the big teeth in that Cherry Pie video burned into my brain. And every day.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
We just pulled it up. I think we pulled it up on, YouTube or something yesterday and refreshed ourselves. Who was the hot chick in that video?
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown. Yeah.
She was in many videos of that day, yes?
She was with Great White.
Did you guys get to have sex with her?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Just the singer. She only went with the singers.
Smart. Yeah,
smart.
That's why I don't play the drums. Beth? Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I'm in Phoenix. I'm on my way to work, and I love your show, and I wanted to call in and have you sing a song about me.
Mm-hmm. And I want to sing a song about you, but I'm going to need your help, Beth. Married, single, pets, kids' names, hobbies, favorite movies, anything.
Have no kids, single but involved, and my dream job, I would say, if I could do anything in the whole wide world, I'd be a stunt woman.
Mm-hmm.
Lesbian.
It just became a girl-on-girl act.
Stunt woman. All right, so no kids. Boyfriend.
Yes.
What's the boyfriend's name?
Boyfriend's name is Tony.
Tony.
Does he know it?
All right. So Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Stunt woman. No kids.
Right.
All right.
The sexy plumber man.
What's that?
Tony's a sexy plumber man.
He's a plumber. All right.
Got any legs?
All right. I think I got it. You go. Is Warrant ready?
Yeah.
Wait. Let me get
always.
A sip of water. I'm blowing myself out here.
Do we need any other information about you before Adam goes?
I don't.
You ready?
It's just going to get confusing.
2, 3,
all right.
4.
Here we go, Beth. Hey, welcome to the stage. It's Beth. She wants to be a stunt woman, but she's already realized her dream of being a lesbian. She dated a beard called Tony. Watch out for the ass crack, ladies. He'll clean out your trap. He don't mind bringing his snake over and giving you a nice hug. Jade, stage five, stage five. Jade. She's got no kids. Is she infertile? Or is it because she's never had a penis in her? Lonely the Lord knows. Businessman lunch coming up Monday through Friday. 1 o'clock to 3 p.m. I got Jay Bet. She's on her way to work. She works with a bunch of ladies who have short hair. She's on the LPGA tour. She's caddying right now for a haunchy front, some Dockers.
I like that.
You know what? Hold on, Warren. Warren's on a roll. I gotta say this. If I just woke up, you know what I mean? You ever play that game with yourself where you just woke up? Like if you fell asleep when you were 19 and you just woke up and you were standing doing whatever you're doing?
I've never done that.
You never done that? It would be very confusing right now. I mean, I think that's Warren standing there. I don't know why I'm yelling about some chick named Beth. And who's the sports guy with the schnoz? Want to try one more?
Intern Lindsay's dancing for the play.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you.
Nice yes. work.
Just in case, though, they're not into the looks of Lindsay, maybe producer Bruska should dance next to her. Shake his bosom.
Oh, Bruska, you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's do more after the break.
I want to do one more. I don't want to do more after break. I'm getting hoarse. I'll do one more now.
From the waist down.
One more, and then we'll go to break. Let's say Darlene over here. Let's talk to Darlene. Darlene?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
Nothing. I'm on my way. I'm so glad that you did one more because I didn't know how much longer I could be on the phone. I'm on my way to Cal State Fullerton.
Hold on. Complains.
I'm not complaining.
Write that down right now. But you're hot, right?
I actually sent a photo to your Lotto and Lotto contest.
Let me tell you how I know Darlene is hot. Darlene has been on hold for how long? 4 minutes?
About
and she's whining about it. See what I mean? Let me just shed some light on this. You can take a chick who's not hot, and you can say, "I want you to take two books, hold them out, spread your arms out like Jesus, hold them out wide, and now run in place. I'll tell you when to stop." And they'll just do it, and 4 or 5 hours will go by. They won't complain. They won't do anything. But hot chicks, you put them on hold for 3 minutes, and they're whining about it already. They're not used to waiting in line. They're not used to sort of taking their rightful place in society. Darlene?
Wow. Yeah.
You are hot, though, right?
You should check out the picture. I don't want to say I am or not.
Well, you sent us a picture to go to the Playboy Mansion on the 26th,
yes,
right?
Pick me.
Well, obviously you're hot because we asked for hot chicks to send in their pictures.
I mean, I did look at those pictures. They're not too hot.
So you feel you're better than the competition?
I'm probably on the top five.
We only had 5 people send in pictures. So what are you dressed in so we can find you?
I am wearing the cop costume, the long sleeve and the glasses.
She's mm-hmm. hot.
Oh, you saw her.
There you go.
Wow. Dave didn't even... There was a nanosecond.
Dave.
Wow. He got you pulled
up. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Dave,
technology.
Yes. Dave took care of business to you last night. The
Ain't
damn check matter.
Wise Foxy.
All right.
He rested his business.
All right, Darlene.
Beautiful.
Other than being actually hot, what else do you do? Hobbies?
I do some photography.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting my master's in counseling.
Counseling.
Uh-huh.
What kind of counseling you want to do?
Marriage and family therapy.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else?
Let's see. I like to dance. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I turned 21. This is my first Halloween being 21.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
mm-hmm.
the mansion with you.
Pets, boyfriends, things like that. Names.
No boyfriend.
Favorite movie.
Butterfly Effect.
What's a Ooh. Butterfly Effect?
Yeah,
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh. Okay, let's stop there.
No, he's not. He's not high in the movie. It's honestly a good movie.
That's your favorite movie.
I mean, I don't really watch movies.
I didn't say your favorite Ashton Kutcher movie of the year 2004. I mean, overall, you could pick Citizen Kane if you like.
That is her Citizen
Ashton
Kane.
Kutcher. Wow. I've never felt older.
You've been punked.
Has anyone ever felt older in their life? The butterfly effect.
No.
Citizen number Kutcher. One.
She is hot, though. She can see her on AdamCarolla.com in a cop outfit.
All right. All right. Butterfly effect. All right.
At least go with Dude, Where's My Car?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Something
a little bit dated.
The
seen.
Guardian.
All right. So, counselor, did you say you like photography? What is.
Yes, photography.
All right. All right. And butterfly effect. Okay. All right. We'll see what we can do for Darlene. All right. You guys ready to rock?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do all one right. more.
Two, three, four.
Stage, it's Darlene. She's 21 as of a month ago, so she can toss out that fake ID. Hey, look out, Demi. There's a new sheriff in town, and she has her eyes on your man. She's gonna do more than the butterfly effect on him, I'll tell you what. She's gonna give him a good old working over. She's working as a counselor, she's training as one. She'll help you out. I'll tell you what, bring your junk to the edge of the stage, she'll give it a nice talking to. I'd like to lay down on your sofa, counselor. I gotta tell you, she's hot but dumb as the day is long. See her up at the Playboy Mansion on the 26th with the Ace Man. Speaking of the Ace Man, talk about a tall drink of water. I'm talking about matinee good looks and hung like a black rhino. Jade, stage four, Jade. All right.
I had to work
myself in a little bit there. All right, Warrant.
All right.
Thanks for helping us out. I want to give, where's my plug cards here, Brusket? Well, I'll tell you what. What do you guys got? Here we go. Coach House, San Juan Capistrano. Nice venue.
Yeah.
The Coach House. And San Juan, nice, in sort of Capistrano. But that's halfway about between L.A. and San Diego, maybe a little closer to San Diego. That's Saturday, the 25th. You guys are going to do a full acoustic set?
Yeah, November 25th, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Got a lot of swallows down there in San Juan, too.
Should have worked that in. You can go to warrenrocks.com for more information and pick up the Born Again CD as well. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for having us.
Thanks for playing
you have a
along.
Lovely singing voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're all right.
You rock, brother.
You got skills.
Do we have Crazy Sarah in yet?
She's like 5 minutes away.
72-year-old Sarah. So bring her in. Also, Phil Angelides, running for governor of California, is going to come in. I have some questions for him. We'll do all that after this.
Peace.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Whittier, California. A 72-year-old woman calls the Adam Carolla Show.
What's happening, my dear?
Well, my daughter's on crutch. I'm 72, and she's my caretaker. She's very mean.
Well, these are all things you can talk about in person when you come down here.
Oh, that'll be
interesting. Yeah. Not for the listeners.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, 72-year-old suicidal meth addict Sarah. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, we finally get to meet her in the flesh. First, one last little tip of the hat to Warrant.
Is silence bad? Oh.
Thank you. Hey, buddy, when I'm done firing the sound effects guy, Brian, I'm going to talk a little about Sarah. 72, she's got herself a cat, Bill, the gay board op, takes care of her. She's strung out on prescription meds, and her daughter's not talking to her. What daughter, you ask? The one that was kicked with a steel-toed boot by her ex-hubby. Is she dead? Is she in a flop house? Only the big man knows, and he's not talking. All right, go get Sarah, please. Hold on. Jade, stage one. Okay.
We've never met Sarah in person.
Here she is. Jerron is helping her in. Sarah.
She's a lovely woman.
72 years young.
72 years old.
Come on in, baby doll. Sarah, when we heard that you attempted to commit suicide some weeks back, we immediately snapped into action.
Oh.
What happened?
What happened?
Well, let's first get everyone caught up with Sarah. Sarah, you called into this show, I believe it was during What Can Adam Complain About, or maybe it was Mr. Brightside we were doing, right?
Dr. Pangloss, yeah.
Dr. who?
Pangloss.
Mm-hmm.
In Vulture's Candide. These terrible things kept on happening, and Candide would ask him, would tell him about it, and Dr. Pangloss would say always, this is the best of all possible worlds. All is for the best in this best of all possible worlds.
Let me make this observation.
I'm Teresa. It's very nice to meet you.
A lot of times you talk to people on the phone, and it's hard to understand them, but when you see them face to face, there's a lot more clarity. This has gotten much worse.
Well, she's had a very hard week.
I understand. I'm not sure.
No, I'm taking medication that the psychiatrist gave me.
Mm-hmm.
They do something to my mouth.
I see.
It's
dry
called
mouth.
Tardive dyskinesia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a side effect of the
medication. Right. But just to recap, you called into this show about 4 or 5 months ago, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you're complaining about your daughter, who's in her 40s, who was living with you and taking care of you in an apartment.
Taking care of me?
Yeah.
She's going to take care of me, all right.
No, really? She wasn't doing a good job. You're saying she was doing meth or crack coke or something like that, right?
Crank, I think they call
crank. And now we tried to get you some treatment along with get her some treatment, but you
what
guys...
What am I being treated for? She wouldn't go unless I went.
I see.
I had to greatly exaggerate.
So we had to get her into rehab, and we're going to get you into rehab as well. But you're only going there to get your daughter into rehab. Now you're old, and your health is failing. But she's fairly young and has her life ahead of her, and you worry about her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's missing Carol, your daughter, right?
Yes.
We don't know where she is.
No.
Do you suspect?
Last I knew, she was out on the desert, the high desert.
The high desert.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know where that is either.
Truly high.
There
she's
is,
there.
You know, I gotta say, there's nothing worse for those of you who aren't from this area than that area, the high desert.
Everyone
They go out there. First off, there's nothing but garbage and baked earth. Everyone goes out there to cook up meth. Everyone has been blasted by the sun and the meth pipe, and everybody just, you know, you make fun of fat people, but fat people look 10 times as good as these people look. They just look like, you know, 28-year-olds look like they're in their 70s. The skin is just hanging off them. It's as if they just stopped eating, started smoking meth, and never put on an ounce of sunscreen. Oh, and then you have the chain smoking that goes along with it, right?
She doesn't smoke as much as I do.
Oh, I see. I see. You're a heavy smoker?
Yes.
Well, I tell you to quit.
55 years.
55 years. And look at you.
Yeah, look.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you shut
up. No, I'm sorry. You're 72. You look brand new. So we're trying to find your daughter. What's your daughter's name?
Carol.
Carol.
So you say her last name? If she if she's listening, can you
well, how many,
say her name?
How many?
I don't give her last name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. I'm the heir.
You don't want to.
She's being stalked still by that
ex-husband?
Maniac.
Oh.
The ex-husband who tried to kill her?
Yes, she saw him on the freeway driving a truck.
Oh, driving a truck.
Out
what a shocker.
By where she is.
Mm-hmm. That's her ex-husband. And he attempted.
Well, they're not technically married. She has been married, but not to him.
Mm-hmm. But she had a husband that tried to kill her, right?
She had this guy that tried to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
They were together for 16 years, which in California, I guess, would make them married.
Mm-hmm.
But in Colorado, just mouth.
Yeah. So does she have kids? Do you have grandkids? Grandkids?
One.
You won. How old's your grandchild?
25, I think.
25? Do you see him or her?
I don't see her, no. She has a little boy.
I see your great grandmother.
Uh huh.
Mhm. And you don't see your great grandchild or grandson, and or your granddaughter. Why not?
She tried to put me in a assisted living facility while Lane was gone. And when Carolyn came back, she was so furious.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to press charges.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not.
Right. Well, how are you able to get along now?
And also, she had the baby circumcised about 5 months, excuse me, after it was born. Yeah. And I was furious that she mutilated the child. That's my grand.
Oh, don't cry.
Mm.
Oh, that would be good radio.
Well, he's autistic now, and he was fine before.
He's autistic because of the circumcision?
I think so, because he was fine before. You can't wait that long.
Hold on.
It makes sense.
I don't, I'm no physician, but I'm going to go way out on a limb here.
Trust is gone, and...
Uh-huh. In 5 months? Well, 5 months isn't bad. And in the Jewish faith, they wait a while before
they
the circumcision.
Eight days.
Yeah. Sarah's right. 8 days.
8 days. So they went, but they're guys who get circumcised as adults.
Sure.
Well, I don't know.
Doesn't make them autistic. At least that would be a very negative side effect.
I think you might be born with autism.
I think you may be born that way.
He was fine.
And so how old is Sarah? Look,
he's 5 years old now.
5 years old and autistic. Okay,
yes,
so
I don't know how badly.
A lot of tragedy in your family. Yes?
Yes.
And is it for these reasons and others that you tried to take your own life some weeks ago?
Yeah, I kind of gave up. Briefly.
Took some pills?
Actually, I need a concoction to drink out.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother tells me that. My grandmother says she has suicide pills, and, you know, if things ever get too bad, she's going to take the suicide pills. And I always say, well, you want me to go get them? Or... And then she gets mad, and I'm like, what? I'm just trying to be... Oh, come on. You're going to blame me for everything? I just said, I thought you wanted your suicide pills, that's all. Oh, I'm going to get that one bedroom in North Hollywood, and it's the last thing I do.
Well, Sarah's daughter accused you of drinking and taking various pills.
Yes, I take blood pressure pills.
Mm-hmm.
I take pain pills.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want.
I take heart pills. I've had a heart attack.
You don't want to kill
yourself. Had a stroke.
You don't want to kill yourself anymore, though, right?
Today?
Yeah, today.
No.
No. Okay.
Why did you bring a suicide cocktail with you?
No.
Just for convenience.
Talk about good radio.
No, it would be controversial. All right, Sarah, hang tight with us. So I'm gonna make you feel better when we come back.
Oh, you have a bar here.
A bar?
Huh?
I have a what? Sarah, you cool?
Sure.
You look like you're gonna fall off that stool. Are you all right?
Yeah. My back and my hip, I have to get in a weird position.
Okay. Well, hang tight. Bruska, duct tape her to that stool. I don't want a lawsuit here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Sarah. She's 72. I'm gonna make you queen for a day when we come back. Yes?
Oh, good.
All right. We'll do that.
Very nice.
After this.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. What would you do to get into our Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion? One listener got a tattoo of Don King.
Underneath his armpit with his pit hair as Don King's hair. Let's see it.
Wow.
This kid ate his wallet.
That's tough stuff. You got to get busy.
Some guy smoked a bong load of Big Tad's pubes.
It's in his lungs. Exhale.
One guy got a tattoo of tattoo.
A tattoo of tattoo would be awesome.
And we tried to drive one guy crazy by making him listen to 4 hours of this. Think you got what it takes to get inside the Playboy Mansion? Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
That whole experiment backfired on me because I was singing that repeatedly this morning while I was in my kitchen making breakfast at 4, God knows what, a.m. Sarah's in the studio. She's 72. Has a daughter who she cannot find. She worries about her. Carol has a cat. Are you still taking care of your cat, Elizabeth, or is pre-op, board-op, gay Bill doing that?
Bill has.
Bill has your cat.
He's had her for many months, I think.
Yes.
What a mensch that...
I know.
Yeah.
Very sweet. And she had some infections and various
she has an ear infection, right. Yeah.
Ear infection. I've been putting everything I find in it and nothing.
So I wanna do a little history with you, Sarah. You were born in what, the mid 30s?
34.
And where were you born?
Michigan.
In Michigan.
Detroit.
And what did you want to be? What did you want to do? I'm curious when I talk to people that are advancing in age, what they thought they were going to be when they're in the 10th grade.
I wanted desperately to be a cultural anthropologist.
I knew it.
Oh, sure, you didn't.
I knew it.
Everything.
Brian, hand it over.
She comes from the Motor City. Let's get her engine started. She wants to be a cultural anthropologist. Wait a minute, there's got to be a typo. Who wrote this down? You effing me? Are you? I don't know what a cultural anthropologist is, but anyway, quit your training. Quit your grinning, stop your leaning.
All right, Sarah. So what'd you want to do? You wanted to be a cultural anthropologist.
Right.
That means...
Like Margaret Mead.
Yes.
Like Margaret Mead.
Of course,
Mead.
No one could be like her, but, do that sort of work. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Now you graduate high school.
At 16.
At 16. Mm-hmm. Did you graduate early, or is that just how it went back then?
No, I graduated early.
You did? So you're a good student?
I was, good student.
Going back to a...
My friends call me Professor. Sarcastically.
She's a real whippersnapper.
But you were a good enough student to graduate a year or two early from high school, right?
Yes.
So then you go off to college?
I didn't matriculate, but no, I went off to work and took classes as I could.
Mm-hmm. And then what? You get married?
Yes.
Uh-oh. What happened? Married the wrong man?
Oh, yeah.
Bad guy?
Well, they say don't speak ill of the dead. But he died of, according to his next wife, he died of acute alcoholic dementia.
Wow.
But he didn't drink when we were together, and we were together 19 years.
Now, did your mother... Was she married to an alcoholic? Was your father an alcoholic?
Oh, no.
Not at all. And he wasn't abusive?
No, he was an accountant.
He was a good guy?
Yeah.
Well, why were you attracted to the abusive alcoholic then?
Well, I married him because I felt I was morally obligated, if you know what I mean.
You're pregnant?
No, but I had.
You'd done it with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different time.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was quite shocking, quite...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was quite
ashamed. You married him, and he was... Now, did you have your child, Carol, with him?
Yes, I did, but much later, I miscarried that child. I wouldn't have had to marry
him. Mm-hmm.
I just want to kick myself.
You miscarried the child you were pregnant with, which is the reason you had to get married to him in the first place?
No, I wasn't pregnant, but I had been intimate with him, and I felt I was morally obligated.
Mm. Let me, please. A weird time, or such a different time, when you just had to do the right thing. This guy took your virginity, and that was it. Or you got pregnant, or you got whatever. It's going to be nice for my kids and young Damashek, who we heard the announcement, his wife, Cindy, is pregnant as well. It's going to be nice for them to grow up in some place with no rules.
Someone's looking at you.
And no moral compass. That's good radio, sir. Keep going. So, Phil Angelides is here, and it looks like some of his security detail is eyeballing you as a potential threat, Sarah.
Well, speaking of eyeballing, Sarah, you leaned over to me to the break, and what did you tell me about Adam?
Oh, is he dangerous, too?
No, you said about his looks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he wanted to check if he missed something?
Mm. You told me you said Adam's very handsome.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know that.
The old dame's gone loony.
I never watched The Man Show because the name of it, I just figured it wouldn't be anything I would be interested in.
Yep. That's why I always told Kimmel, we're going to name this show Poodle Skirts and Potpourri Baskets.
That wouldn't have interested me.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I was wrong. So now you get married. I'm interested in your life, and thanks for the compliment. You know, I am a guy who older women find attractive. All the time I was in high school, it was none of the chicks I liked who were into me, but their moms always thought I was attractive and would try to talk their daughters who fought them tooth and nail for, you know, into going out with me. There is a look. It's a type. Maybe you have to have a barrel chest and a lantern jaw or something, but there is things that's an old style look.
Now you're one step above from Neanderthal, so old ladies remember the olden days.
That's what it is.
You have a classic look.
Yeah,
right, Sarah?
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Master, who called in during the 6 o'clock hour, is here. Master's a tall glass of chocolate milk. What's happening, Master?
Nothing much. I'm feeling all right, Adam.
Is your name really Master?
That's my real name.
God, that's got to be nice.
Hey, where are the white women at?
That'd be nice to have everyone call you Master. And it's got to be, like I said, weird when you're getting a ticket or being fired or something. Master, I'm going to need you to sign this, you know, or a guy. Cops are pulling you in and serving a warrant or something. But the idea that people call you Master 24/7, smart.
Yeah, that's my mom's idea.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work. You're working for a uniform place.
I know.
Still a nice story. So, Master, you were going to come in here and you were going to make out with Sarah so you could get yourself some Playboy tickets. Sarah, I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do, but...
Oh, no, I never do.
How's the libido?
Hey, it's in the toilet.
In the toilet. Not what it was when you were a younger woman.
I've got sleepy howl. When you were naming certain parts.
Oh, sleepy howl. I got it. When they were naming my vagina, back when the show was trying to name my vagina, you said yours would be called Sleepy Hollow.
That's amazing.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
More clever than anything we came up
with. It actually is.
It is. Would you like to introduce it to Ichabod's crane over here?
It would be so painful.
Oh, no, no,
that's
no.
That's for me.
No, listen. We're not talking about him raping you in the studio, Sarah. We're going to have him do it in the parking lot.
Boy, it's Phil Angelina's
No,
we were just going to have you guys make out, you know, just a nice, passionate kiss.
Oh, you look lovely, Sarah.
But again...
The last man who kissed his lips was Frankie Avalon up in... Big Bear.
Frankie Avalon was the last man that kissed you?
Yeah, he came over and started dancing with me. He was part of a wedding party, mm-hmm. And he just came in this bar where I happened to be.
And what year are we talking about here?
It was 4.5 years ago.
You made out with Frankie Avalon 4.5 years ago.
We danced, and then he turned around, and then he came back and kissed me on the mouth.
And that's the last male you've kissed?
Yes.
You ever been with a brother?
Yes.
I have. Oh, you have?
Yes.
You have one? Let's talk about that.
It's full of surprises.
It's a different time, too. Taboo. What's going on? What year was that?
Once, that was about...
James Washington
20 years
Carver.
Ago?
What? 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You were intimate with a black man 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you like it?
You know, different. I don't see color the way some people do. I really don't pay that much attention because some people are darker, some people are lighter, and that goes for whites, too.
Mm-hmm. So you're colorblind?
Yeah.
Not prejudiced at all.
No.
Blind. She just called you attractive, Carl.
That's true.
That's true. I am blind in one eye.
There you go.
Maybe I looked at him only with that eye.
Probably that eye that thinks I'm attractive. Turns out she's funnier than anyone here on the staff.
Sad.
It's very amusing.
Yeah. You may not be trying to kill yourself, but we're going to all kill ourselves after the show, sir.
Oh, I thought you all were going to help me.
Oh, no. Unless you get kissed to death by one master who just came into studio. So what do you think? One last fling?
One last kiss, you mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
Nice passionate kiss.
He's looking slightly ill, but...
he's not looking ill, are you, Master?
No, I'm not looking ill.
He's a tall, dark glass of chocolate milk. And he just make out with you, and you get he'll get some Playboy tickets. You want to go to the Playboy Mansion with us, Sarah?
Oh yeah, right. I just want to peek around the corner, see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that outside, just emerging from the green room, is Phil Angelides and his entire staff to watch Master and Sarah kiss one another.
Yeah, this is really a unique moment.
How long do they want to? Should they go?
Let's ask Phil Angelides.
I think I think my falling song seems to be a good distance. So here's the length.
Which one?
No, not the 3.5-minute FM version of it. Say the John Mark Carr.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'd say a tongue involved as well.
Oh, Brusca. I didn't even
It's a great
that
show. A lot of fun.
Oh. Sarah said she didn't even do that with her husband.
Oh, you didn't? Well, maybe that's why you guys got divorced. You got to use the tongue. You got to slip in a little tongue every once in a while. Keep things fresh. Hmm? No?
What do you do with that when it's in there?
What do you do with your tongue?
Put it right in your mouth.
I could teach you.
What do you do with it?
And by the way... Master is a guy I want to go into battle with.
Yeah.
He did not come in here. He didn't blink an eye. He's got his game face on. He wants those Playboy tickets. He's almost... Oh, I mean, I don't know if you're that hard up or you're just such a pro that it doesn't matter to you. I mean, Sarah, I'm sure in her prime was quite a handful, but she's getting a little bit long in the tooth.
She looks like Alec Guinness. Looks right now.
Right. All right.
I say tongue has to be involved.
I say there's got to be a little tongue, Sarah. A little tongue action with Master.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, he'll lead the way, right, Master?
Most definitely, I'll lead the way. I'll teach you everything she needs to know.
And I'm not putting my tongue in there.
You're not putting your tongue in there.
Well, can he put his tongue in your mouth?
I guess.
Yeah. And again, Sarah, if you're not comfortable with this...
You're
tough luck.
No, Sarah, at any moment, if you're not comfortable, you can back out, of course.
You're not going to bite it or...
No, definitely not. I'm gentle, baby.
He's a nice guy.
He's just a big dude. He looks like a football player.
Yes, he's a large man. How are you? How old are you, Master?
20.
20?
Uh-oh.
Really? Wait a minute. Yeah, that's
fine. Might have
been
a good thing to know.
I wish you weren't a liar.
He's over 18.
Right.
Yeah, this will
be fun.
All right. Well, how about it? One last fling with Master. We'll just fire up the John Mark Carr there. Just 8 seconds. A little moment of passion. Sarah, you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sarah might need a little help staying standing a little bit. I'm going to help you, okay?
Yeah. I may need a little help keeping my breakfast in me. So,
Brusca, do you have her?
I got her.
Okay.
Dave, think sure about baseball. Think about baseball.
All right. And Master's bending down because he's 6'6", and he's 400 pounds, and he's making out with her right now. Give her a little tongue, please.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait a minute. Now he's trying to grab some boob. That wasn't part of the deal. No laughing. Yeah. He is a passionate, passionate man. All right. I think you're covered, Master. You're in. Sarah. Huh? That'll put a little starch in your sheets.
I think I may have the age now.
I had a vision of it, going down my throat. I don't know what people do.
Was that all right for you?
It was fine.
That felt all right?
Sarah's got jungle fever.
Yeah. Well, maybe Wesley Snipes will turn up in your apartment. Hey, I know he's on the lam. How was that? How was that for you, Master?
It's tastes like I licked an ashtray.
Sarah smokes it. She just hit him.
All right. And are you single?
Yes, I am.
Master? Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you. Appreciate you. What'd you say, Sarah?
I said, so am I, darling.
Ooh. Well, maybe we can have a little May... casket relation. I don't know. It seemed like I needed to go deeper into the calendar than June. Yeah.
A June-December romance.
June-December. Yeah. It'd be December.
January-December.
Right. 1822.
There you go.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Master, you're more man than I could ever dream of being. Or you're higher than an effing kite. Sarah?
Don't feel bad.
That's right. Sarah, look, all young black guys are into Frankie Avalon, so you can just say your mouth was where Frankie's was 4 years ago. Sarah, you okay? You in good spirits now?
Yeah.
You're not going to do anything stupid?
Oh.
No. You're feeling good?
Where's your suicide cocktail?
Oh.
Master, zinger.
Master wasn't that bad. All right, Mike Lynch, you're fired. Sarah, you're in. We'll take a quick break. Phil Angelides is coming in here next. California Democratic candidate for governor. I want to talk to him about his platform. I won't yell over him like I did when he called in. I will give him plenty of... No, you don't believe me? You don't believe I'm not going to yell over Phil Angelides?
No, there's no way...
Yes, it is true. I will challenge him on many, many issues. We'll do that after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. And now the man who's trying to take the governorship of California away from Arnold Schwarzenegger, Phil Angelides, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Phil Angelides.
Good to be with you.
Well, I think it's a unique time in politics where people who used to be squarely in one camp or the other, maybe a Republican or Democratic, are sort of now straddling. I feel like I agree with the Republicans on certain issues, and I agree with the Democrats in others, you know, things that involve the environment, things like that. What, tell me, so I'm
Where do you agree with the other guys?
Well, I don't like taxes being raised, for instance. Fiscally, I agree with the Republicans. I don't think that you can, I think, for instance, in California, too many restrictions for something like, I used to be in the construction business, and workman's comp, for instance, is pricing everyone out of the state. And then there's lots of, I feel like the Democrats want to put lots of restrictions on business and get lots of money from people that have money. But meanwhile, all they do is drive the business elsewhere where there's places that are easier and more lucrative for the business to set up.
Okay.
All right. How would you answer that?
Well, here's how I'd answer it. God, we're getting serious. I was going to say, first of all, I'm not going to make out with anyone.
He's Phil Angelides. He's Greek. So perk up, fellas, or maybe it'll something in it for you.
Well, back to policy.
Yes.
Back to policy, Adam. You know, I look forward to this opportunity. Well, so here's the deal. I think, let's talk about the economy, because I had a business for 15 years, met a payroll, created jobs. In the end, though, California, America, we're not going to be the best unless we have the best educated kids, best schools, more young people going to college.
Sure.
Best environment.
Right.
And so there is a certain price all of us have to pay for that. So I did very well, but at some point, Bush tax cuts, Schwarzenegger tax cuts, for those of us at the top, there's a limit to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that a lot of working middle-class families are paying more and more. Tuition's up.
Yes.
Community college, state college, university.
Well, community college. Please, all you need is a moped. Yeah, you're in a community college. You get a hacky sack and a dime bag and a moped. You're into any community college.
But it's going up. 300,000 kids have dropped out. So,
of community college.
So I'm for...
That's because her stepdad kicked him out of the garage and they had to get a job.
That's
not
tough,
because
Adam.
That's not because tuition has gone up.
It's gone up.
What does it cost to go to L.A. Valley College over here in North Hollywood?
You know what? Books alone are probably $500-$700 a semester.
Buy them used at the bookstore so they smell like patchouli.
It's pretty expensive.
Look, here's my point. Right. If you can't afford junior college, and I'm going to ask that once you're elected, Phil Angelides, you change it to junior college just to bring a shame element to it, because I feel like
you're tough,
graveyard, Adam, that stupid people go to die. There's nothing going on over there. I got here's what I want. If we're talking about education,
right,
I feel like you're wasting the taxpayers'
money.
Let
me just tell you something. What? It's taken me a couple of minutes here to adjust from, was it Sarah?
Yes.
Yes, Sarah and the necking right into education.
I understand, but you got it. If you're going to be a successful governor,
I got to be nimble.
You
got to
be nimble. I've always said that.
I'm nimble.
All right. I don't even want to get started on junior college. Let's talk about the environment.
Right.
Here's my feeling. I tried to get some solar power hooked up to my house a couple years ago when I was doing a big remod. It's very expensive, but they have a thing where the city will match your whatever, except for the funds had dried up. When are we going to start really focusing on this? It's all we ever hear about is our dependency on foreign oil and, you know, ozone and greenhouse. We have solar energy. There's other forms of alternative energy. We never seem to have the money or the time to get to it.
Well, I'll tell you why. The oil companies have an enormous grip.
Yes.
On governments in Washington and Sacramento. You know, Schwarzenegger's taken more money from the oil companies than any politician other than George Bush. And that's why you haven't seen any progress in California. But there's three or four big things we could do. First of all, for people who want to put solar on, there is going to be a new solar incentive program. And we ought to make it more significant, more available. A lot of people, when they put solar on, can generate extra electricity. We ought to make it easier for them to sell it back, essentially, so you reduce your bill.
Yeah, put it back on the grid. It's a little bit of a myth that you'll get paid to put it back on the grid.
No, but at least we ought to make it easier than it is now.
I feel like this, Phil. I feel like sometimes I try to explain things to a different culture. Let's say aliens came down here from a different planet, and I said, we got a big problem. There's this black crude stuff comes from the ground. It comes from places we don't really support or want to support, but yet we hand them all the money, and they say, well, I guess if that's the only form of power you have, then what are you going to do? And then we go, well, there is another form. It's a giant burning orb in the sky that's out for 12 hours a day, and we could use that. And they would say, why don't you use that? I don't understand.
But there's even more than that. Look, there's a proposition on the ballot this November, Prop 87, that would actually tax oil companies. We're the only state in the country that doesn't tax oil companies, only oil-producing place in the world that doesn't tax oil companies for taking oil out of the ground. Mm-hmm. Proposition 87 would do it and use that money to develop clean alternative fuels. Brazil
today... So we should vote yes,
yes
on
87. Brazil today gets 40% of their fuel for their cars from ethanol from agri-waste. Not from corn, but from all the agricultural waste.
Right.
We should be the world leader in California.
Yeah.
We got the skill sets. We got the smarts. We got the environmental consciousness.
Right. Just to make sure everyone understands how it really works, oil companies have billions of dollars to protect. I mean, if you're going to build some oil derrick offshore, whatever it is, tankers, I mean, imagine how much it costs, the things that they have, and think about their interests monetarily. So they take a certain amount of their profits every year and they give it to lobbyists. And those lobbyists go down and they talk to politicians who are making policies and they convince them not to do things that are going to hurt their business. Oh. Therefore, we don't get anywhere. And
yeah,
everybody
the way,
suffers.
They're making the oil companies today. Hey, God bless free enterprise. I was in business, you were in business, but they're making $350 million a day today. So they're protecting a lot of interest. And we ought to be, you know, I got our pension funds as a treasurer to invest $1.5 billion in renewable energy, environmental technology. We ought to be leading the world.
How about just the idea in general of the lobbyists? I mean, if you really just explain it in rudimentary terms, you have 300 million people who'd like one thing. There's a half dozen folks who'd like it to go the other way. So they take some of their money and they pay one guy and he goes and talks to somebody and the 300 million don't get their way.
Yeah, it's pretty basic.
That's pretty basic, you know, right? Does that seem like like maybe it should not be acceptable anymore?
You know, you started off about taxes. Let me just tell you, there used to be a time when tax breaks went to people who were living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Now they go to corporations who have 10 lobbyists on their payroll. The oil companies in California, they have a special tax break, like they need it,
right,
that allows them to deduct a certain amount of expenses each year, whether they got them or not.
Well, how do we then get big business to get interested in electric cars, in solar power. I mean, ultimately, they need a financial incentive. And once they get interested in it and see, well, this is going to put money in our coffers in the future, then they will do it. And then we will convert very quickly.
Well, and it's beginning to happen. Like I said, I led our pension funds to invest $1.5 billion in a bunch of enterprises that were investing in renewable energy, environmental technology. There's a new wave of investment going on around the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one area where we ought to provide incentives. We ought to be doing a lot more in terms of research at our universities to help corporations develop the next wave of technology. But it's not going to be the oil companies. They
right.
got... At least American oil companies.
They have too much tied up in the old way.
You got
All right, we need to take a break. I want to float something really quick, Phil Angelides.
I'm not going to kiss Sarah.
No.
I want to be clear. I decided early.
Let me tell you something I know would work. We could never get it passed, but I know it would work. We take gas, and we make it $10 a gallon. And we take the profits, $6.50, $7 a gallon, whatever that is. Over the market rate, and we put it into light rails, buses, van pools, and whatever. And here's the deal. If you want to drive your big SUV or your big Denali, whatever you want to drive, you want to drive the Governator's Humvee, go ahead and drive that baby. You will be paying $10 a gallon. Now, those of you who are complaining, well, wait a minute, I don't have $10. I can't afford $10 a gallon. That's my Asian flute. This means it's going to happen when you hear this. And I suggest you play this on the campaign trail. You folks, don't worry, because there's billions of dollars in surplus now. I will have a van pick you up and take you at your door, not a designated pickup area. I'm going to send a van. It's going to pick you up and your neighbor up. We will drive you to your work, and then we will drive you home. We will have monorails and light rails and subways and buses. We'll have all this surplus going into rapid transit. And yes, if you want to go on a Sunday drive, it's going to be $10 a gallon. But now you're going to be incentivized to buy a car that gets better mileage, gets people off the road, cleans up the air, has money for light rail and infrastructure and other things that will help get people moving around. And if you want to drive, well, then that's your business. It's $10 a gallon.
Well, I mean, first, here's what I'd say. The best thing Californians can do right now, because it's real, it's right there, is Proposition 87.
Mm-hmm.
It will begin the move. It'll make us the leader in developing clean fuels. By the way, I think we can do some other things.
What'd you think of my $10 a gallon?
I think it'd be too hard on people making...
wait a minute.
No.
Kim Chi says it will be. All right, we need to take
a break. With all due respect to Kim Chi, too hard on people making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year.
They got a van picking them up and taking them to work. What do you mean too hard?
What kind of van? Like an SUV van?
Custom van.
Custom
I'm talking
van.
Captain's You're chairs, Blaupunkt stereo, Prager mags,
well, okay,
Uncle
now.
Henry, a Hooga horn. It's going to say Lovetron and rainbow tape on the side. All right, we'll take and then they'll have that thing where it says, don't laugh, your daughter may be in here, that bumper sticker. And then if the van's a rocket. I'll explain during the break. Phil Angelides running for governor of California. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back to more of my policies after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Thursday, October 26th, we're doing a Halloween party from the Playboy Mansion. It's Blotto in the Grotto. For any guys that want to show up, you got to prove you're worthy with a humiliating stunt. But if you're a girl, all you got to do is send us a hot picture of you in a Halloween costume to contest@AdamCarolla.com. If we like you, you're in. Want to see who we like so far? Go to AdamCarolla.com and check it out. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Phil Angelides. In studio, running for governor of California.
It's good. So, Adam, I got a question. The guy who's traveling with me wants to know if he can have two tickets to this thing at the Playboy Mansion. I want to be very clear.
If he's going to give
for me.
Not
he's
for
jumping
you,
up and down
guy.
Out there. You know,
yes. Well, if he gives
a year and a half on the road with me. Don't you think that's enough penance?
That's I would have killed myself at month number six. Yes, give him those tickets, and then he can hand them to two hot chicks. That's the only way we're giving him the tickets,
all
Phil.
Right,
you
know what? He can be an intermediary. That'd be very exciting for him. He can stand outside.
You wouldn't go to the Playboy Mansion. It wouldn't be good for your marriage. It wouldn't be good for your image.
You know, let's just start with the marriage.
Mm-hmm. And leave it at that?
Let's just, yeah. We don't need to get into... image. Yeah.
Well, let's keep going with the issues here. I'll tell you one thing. Well, I want to talk about immigration.
All right.
What's going on with that? I feel like it's a topic that's on the tip of everyone's tongue lately, especially out here in Los Angeles, but California in general, for sure.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's a very serious issue, and a lot of people try to use it to divide people up. But here's what we got to do. We got to have a real border. Mm-hmm. Bush has to do his job to enforce the border. He's been a complete failure.
Yes.
The federal government is stiffing California each year for about $750 million a year to incarcerate undocumented felons.
Yeah, we're footing the bill for that.
We're footing the bill.
And when you say a real border,
I don't think the wall and the fence isn't going to work. You just need trained border agents.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always going to be an issue. But look, you got millions of people here working hard, supporting the economy, doing jobs that the California needs, and we got to figure out some way to bring that out of the shadows. I mean, right now, it's happening. You got to make it work for everyone. So I personally support bringing all those workers out of the shadows, giving them a path to legalization. I think it'll be smarter for the whole economy.
Right. But you don't want new folks coming over illegally.
Well, you got a national border. You got to respect that.
Yeah, I know. It always turns into a race issue, I believe.
Well, and the governor helped turn it that way, too.
He did. What did he do?
Well, about 2 weeks ago, he made some comments in which he said that a lot of immigrants have trouble assimilating, he said, particularly Mexican-Americans. And the fact is, he was just plain wrong. I mean, Mexican-Americans are no different than anyone else. You know, my mother's an immigrant of Greek descent. My grandparents are of Greek descent. I mean, there's Mexican-American doctors, lawyers, professors, people who are as assimilated as anyone else. And the governor, you know, kind of threw that in there.
Yeah. But I see his statement here is Mexicans are so close to their country.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous.
And they stay. Well, but look, I do feel like there's some truth in that statement, which is they keep their culture here. I mean, look, in Los Angeles,
said he wears his lederhosen.
The top. I know
that's an attractive image.
He was doing a little backpedaling, but I feel like, I remember a few years ago we were talking about English only in schools, and all the naysayers were saying if we just teach English only and we don't have the bilingual classes, then these kids will be unemployable in a few short years. But it turns out they just learn to speak English.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact is everyone ought to learn English. And the fact is...
Controversial.
I know.
Very. Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry, sir. I will not entertain the rants of a bigot in my radio station.
How dare you!
Having said this, the fact is, look, my grandparents, on my dad's side, they never spoke English. They were here for 40 years in this country. And I asked my dad once, why did Yaya and Papu in Greek never speak English? He said they never had time. They worked 15 hours a day. Now, they were great Americans. My dad served in World War II. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact is, sometimes it takes a generation or two.
What do you think about my feeling is I feel like our culture is being sort of hijacked by Mexico, at least out here in Southern California.
Nah.
The top four radio stations are Spanish-speaking. Well, the idea that we're living in the United States and we have to put an asterisk next to people when you say this is the number one English-speaking radio show in a country that speaks English.
You know what?
You don't feel that way?
Here's what I feel. I feel there's an amazing energy in L.A. I mean, I grew up in Sacramento, up north. It's a world different 400 miles north. Mm-hmm. When you come here, this place is humming. It's pulsing.
You can't wait to get home.
No.
Actually,
we bought a little place down here. It's full of energy. And I'll tell you something. When I see all those people working in restaurants, working in hotels, working 15 hours a day, you can see in their eyes they got the same dreams as my grandmother. They want their kids to go to college. They want them to get a good education. They want them to have an easier go than they had. I mean, they're doing, I got to say something.
But just culturally, there's no, look, Mexicans are the hardest working people on the planet.
But it's fun,
I used
Adam,
to work construction.
But it's fun.
What's fun?
Having the mix here. You go to Orange County.
Mix. Let's talk about mix. That's it. I want some M&Ms. I want some cashews. I want some peanuts. Right now, we got too many churros.
You want? Well, here's the thing, though.
That's all I'm saying. That's the mix. It's the mix part.
But no. here's the flip side.
We're becoming Mexico.
No,
Los Angeles is becoming Mexico.
Well, first of all, California has always been.
Yeah, I know.
With his rich
Let's give everything
heritage.
Back to everybody.
No, I'm saying mix is the operative word. Let me tell you another side of it. When I grew up in the 50s, I grew up in a household where the primary language was Greek, and there was such emphasis on kind of hiding your culture that it was too bad. Now my girls grow up, and my middle daughter speaks fluent Greek. We ought to be able to do that.
Be proud of your culture.
Be proud of your culture.
Nobody is saying not to, but keep in mind you're here because something is broken in your country. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
The reason people head to this country is because
here.
Right. And not only is this a good country, your country's arguably a bad country. There's something wrong. Oh yeah, Mexico's a utopia. There's no corruption over there. There's no unemployment.
People are struggling hard.
Yes, they're struggling hard because they screwed up their country. Or is the soil? Are you saying the soil is cursed?
No.
Well, then what's wrong with Mexico?
Adam, let's go back to California.
Okay.
So I'm thinking of all
Mexico's
those families.
Mexico's a great country that's broken.
You look at our arms.
That's corrupt.
You look at our armed services today. You see a lot of Mexican Americans.
Yes, they're poor.
Serving in Iraq, Afghanistan. There's immense pride among the people
living
here.
Right, because they didn't make it into college and they had to go into the service. Let's be honest. That's the way it works.
Some people choose to do it.
Look, there's a handful of people that get horrible grades in high school.
No.
The cowards go to junior college and smoke weed.
The other ones go into the military. No, Adam.
Yes.
No, you know
I'm right.
No, you're not.
All right.
You're
the
not
point
on this.
Is Mexico is broken.
Actually,
there's something wrong with Mexico. Hence, all their folks are coming over here.
Absolutely.
Right.
Hopefully, they'll get it together.
Now, the real question is how much can we absorb? That's the question. How many uneducated poor people can we absorb?
Oh, well, let me just say something. People are fueling the economy. They're supporting the economy. And you have a whole generation of immigrants whose kids are in school now, who we got to make sure learn well so they can compete for those highway jobs so we can
it's your party that was bellyaching about teaching these people English only a few years ago.
Well, look, my view is every person here, every student has to learn English.
All right.
At the same time, retaining the native language is a good thing for America.
I guess
too.
Hang on to your culture.
You got it.
But
we
keep
agreed.
In mind,
we agreed,
you
Adam.
Come from a crappy place. That's why you're here. Wherever you're from, there's a reason you're here. All right, one last one. What about my monorail I've been trying to build to Vegas? Now I know half of it is going to go through Nevada.
And now I'm going to be controversial.
But as governor, you're going to have to go it alone. I want a monorail to Vegas. We've been talking about this my whole life since I was in high school. We're talking about this
monorail to Vegas?
Well, at least this bullet train.
I'd rather
have
a bullet train up and down the state.
How about that? Where is our bullet train?
I actually sponsored the legislation to build it. Schwarzenegger's put it on hold. If I'm governor, you and I riding the bullet train together, Adam.
Yes, and
you and me together.
When I'm a governor, junior governor, or Mrs. Governor, I don't care. I'm going to say one thing right now, buddy.
You're not going to be Mrs. Governor.
Or anything like it. Yeah. Wait a minute. Kim Chi says I will be the Mrs. Governor
of
California.
Since you had Captain Blowhard on this week, are you gonna allow Arnold Schwarzenegger equal time?
No, I know.
I had to get him in.
Schwarzenegger is a little bit of a blowhard, I must say.
A little bit. He's like the Santa Ana Winds of blowhards.
I gotta tell you, if I was Mr.
Does that mean, was that a score? Or is my time up?
No, it means we agree with you. But I gotta say something. If I was Mr. Olympia for 5 years, I'd be a blowhard, too. I really mean it. If there was just pictures of me with the shirt off and the guns exploding and everything, I'd be a bigger blowhard.
I have those, but I keep them on the inside of my closet.
You keep the big muscles. we have a clip, I think, from Schwarzenegger. I'm trying to think. Should we hear an attack one against Phil Angelini?
Oh, there's many of them.
Do we have that?
Or what about him saying he's not like Bush?
Yeah.
Linking him to Bush is like linking him to Oscar. It's like linking Adam Carolla to Jimmy Kimmel. I know, it's ridiculous.
I realized the guy was a little bit of a sociopath when I heard him on Monday Night Football up talking about how great the Raiders were doing.
Right, down 20. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's when I realized he was a robot because he'd pre-planned
that
and they were getting shellacked in the first half.
I had a debate with him, you know, and so he had like three scripted lines.
Yeah,
one of them was, you see, we each got to ask each other a question.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did watch a debate.
Oh, you did? He said, what was the funniest moment on the campaign? And I really wanted to say is sitting here with a guy whose hair looked like it was dipped in Tang, but, you know.
Instead, he talked about how much he loved his daughters. That was a cop-out, Phil. Come on, don't bring the family into the mix.
You know, they're here today. Oh, my daughter Megan's here.
Oh, they're delights.
Yeah, she's
God
right
bless
here.
You. She's beautiful. Oh, really? Yeah, wow.
The Playboy bunnies are in the other room, Adam.
Does she speak Greek? Is she the Greek
No,
speaker?
She's an amazing young woman. She was in. She was a Peace Corps volunteer in Senegal, West Africa. She speaks French and Pular.
Pular. Wow, that's going to come
anyone
in handy.
Anyone here speak Pular?
How old is this daughter?
This daughter's 28 years old.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She is beautiful, isn't she? Nice. Now, I should be on radio. She should be on TV. This is Megan.
Yeah, nice to see
Good
you,
morning,
Megan.
Adam. How you doing?
You must be proud of Papa.
I am. He's a good guy.
Hey, let me ask you quickly with the Greek heritage.
Yeah.
The sandwich, the gyro, the gyro, the gyro, the gyro. It's always confusing to me.
Gyro.
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 That's how we should say it.
Yeah, gyro.
Delectable. All right, let's hear Schwarzenegger in his attack campaign. I'm not going to say such things about Phil Angelides' beautiful daughter. All right. Although I'd like to put her in some warm bread and spread a little yogurt over.
You're right.
That's wrong. Let's hear Schwarzenegger.
Campaign took an unusual turn when he attacked Adam Carolla in the studio.
I like that. He'd go after you.
What do the ladies do to our families? Is $18 billion in taxes would hurt small businesses and mean lost jobs? If Phil had his way, it could make it harder to own a home or even afford a car. How will we afford our children's dreams? Or to even raise our families in California. Let's keep Governor Schwarzenegger protecting the California dream with no new taxes.
So you're against people buying houses and cars?
I'm against people, apparently.
Just overall.
Yeah. By the way, today's LA Times has a big article on this. Lies, fabrications, total BS.
Well, that's...
So here's the thing.
Yes.
For anyone who makes under $100,000 a year, I'm proposing we cut taxes because those people are struggling hard. If you have a small business, a $5,000 tax credit, because it's the small business that's creating all the jobs, not ExxonMobil, not the big HMOs, not the big drunk companies.
Hmm. Can I ask you?
Yes, you may.
I want to talk traffic for a second. It's a passion of mine.
You know what I think? I think anyone who stops at a red light and they can turn right and they don't turn right, that's a big problem.
You're well briefed, Phil.
But here's
all I ask. Here's what I ask.
Those freeway signs?
Here's what I ask of our governor of California, but everyone who represents the people, wherever they are. I understand there's a limited amount of money, but I would like us to work smart. I feel like, for instance, like we just said, you can turn right at a red in California, yet most of the people are here and they're transplants and they don't know that. How about an awareness campaign?
Turn right on red?
Turn right on red.
You know, Adam, if I'm governor, you get to do the turn right on red PSAs.
I do. I would. And how about this just overall?
God.
This is not going to cost a penny. We're not going to build a new road. We're not going to tunnel a new subway. We're not going to do anything. What we are going to do is get the people that are currently driving to pick it up just a little bit, to focus just a little bit. Turn right on the red. You know what I mean? We could pick things up 15% to 20%.
You feel passionately about this, don't you? We talked about this last week.
I sit behind people who aren't moving when it's perfectly safe and perfectly legal to move. I mean, if you think about it.
Thus the horn.
You can add all the diamond lanes. And yes, I do give them the horn. And sometimes I show them the finger I used to punch the horn.
I don't, by the way.
But here's
Very
the thing.
Very bad for a candidate for governor.
My point is efficiency. Governor.
I like that. You call me governor.
Yes. I'm going to go out on a limb and call you governor. What about efficiency? Why do all these red turn arrows, why do they turn red when they don't need to turn red? Do you notice this? Have you ever seen this?
No.
Oh, you're in the back of your stretch limo with your hookers and your cocaine and your warrant blaring.
There's no cocaine in those limos.
But there are the hookers. I'll give you an example.
There's no limo.
Somebody
and there's no hookers.
Somebody decided
there is a Crown Victoria and I'm in the front seat.
Okay, now why do the signals they have the arrow that turns green? Why does it ever turn red? Why are we waiting there when the light is green?
You mean turning right?
Turning left.
Well, that's let me just say this. I'm not going to defend that. I got too many fights. I got to fight Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm just saying, I feel like we're being nickeled and dimed out here, especially in California. If you've been to Burbank.
But you know what I found? I will say one thing. You guys in L.A., because I'm from Sacramento, you need more left turn signals.
Yeah, but
it's tough to turn left in this town.
Right, but they don't need to turn red. Because we don't need to sit there while the light is green and the signal is red.
So you're saying keep them green while the main light is green.
Yes.
You spend a lot of time in the car, Adam.
But doesn't that make sense?
I'm in the back of my stretch limo. Well, what do I know?
And graffiti here in L.A. How come that's never addressed? What are you going to do about the graffiti problem?
Well, serious answer, right?
Yes.
Look, we have slowly kind of starved a lot of basic services. Parks, urban cleanup, schools. And, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I ran my own business. But I will say one thing, Adam. We can't keep doing bigger and bigger tax breaks for all the big corporations and not having the resources to make sure that we can patrol our streets, clean the graffiti, have decent schools. So a little balance here.
A little balance. How about, I mean,
which brings us back to how we opened this.
We're getting
why don't we take a 5-minute break?
We need to take a break. Phil Angelides. No. One more break with Phil Angelides, running for governor of California. I'm going to get going on meter maids when we come back because we've cut down on teachers and we've cut down on cops and we've cut down at guys working at the port. But one thing that's raised tenfold over the last 10 years is meter maids.
So is this my platform? Less meter maids, more teachers.
Yes. Or have those chicks drive their three-wheel Harleys right into the classroom and teach from the safety and comfort of their own trikes. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Phil Angelides after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on The Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What's up, cheese? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Check this. We got Bobcat Goldthwait in tomorrow. Ben Folds. Neil McDonough from the new movie. What the hell? We don't need a movie about queers. Flags of our fathers. And the return of Def Rat Guy in studio. It's going to be wicked. Please.
Thank you, Jack. Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Phil Angelides in studio running for governor of California.
I like that applause, by the way.
I'm going to be Secretary of Transportation.
Very excited about that, Adam.
Phil goes to victory.
You know about the FBI check and all that, right?
Listen, I did drugs like everybody else did. It was the... Well, it was a couple days ago, actually.
So I got to get this in. Obligatory website, angelides.com.
Sure.
Angelides.com.
Go there.
We can find out, governor for anyone who's Greek challenged.
We can find out about your policies. How about this? You know, when you travel around, you brought up Brazil earlier, and you said that they make methanol from their bio waste. I travel around.
Ethanol.
Yeah. And other folks travel around, and they come back, and they go, oh, it's great. I was over in England, and in England, you know, they figured out the problem with guys walking around the pubs at night and urinating in the street and everything. They have these urinals that they put right in the street there, and everybody uses them, and it cleans things up. Whenever you travel around, you see neat ideas in the other countries, the other states, the other places that you go. How about you say, you know what? I'm not a genius, and I'm not claiming to be one. I'm going to rip off the world. I'm going to go to Japan. I'm going to take what they got. They got those vending machines that sell sake. I'm going to bring them here. All the cool stuff, the other ideas that other people have tested and done, put into practice, and it's worked. They've spent all the money on the R&D. We just rip it off and bring it here. How about that idea?
Hey, look, you know, we're in a whole new global economy. And what I did, you know, before I was treasurer, I actually had a company where we built urban projects, new communities. And I used to travel around to see what other people were doing. Went to places like Portland, which is a great urban center. Went to places like Toronto. Mm-hmm. It's fun to go and take stuff from other places. You know, I mentioned Brazil. Mm-hmm. That's a great model. You know, they've required all their automakers to manufacture their cars so they can run on flex fuels. And now 70% of the cars there can run on flex fuels.
It can run on regular gasoline.
On gasoline or ethanol or whatever kind of new fuels are developed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, California ought to require automakers to do it because there's new fuels coming online. There's great ideas that we ought to capture and bring here. But also, I will just say this, Adam, if we have the right kind of economy, we're going to lead in bioscience, renewable energy, environmental technology. We're also exporters of great ideas.
I feel like big oil has kept us in a holding pattern since the 60s.
And let's be blunt about it. Bush is their total captive, and so is Schwarzenegger. You know, Schwarzenegger does all this stuff to fake like he's great on global warming, but he just recently vetoed a bill that would have required half the cars in California be able to run on alternative fuel.
Mm-hmm.
He's opposing this Prop 87.
I know. I mean, look, here's how you know there's treachery afoot, because we had a huge problem 30-something years ago in this country, and nothing has changed. Essentially, nothing has changed. And I say, Phil, take a look at every other technology. Take a look at the way you used to listen to music. In the early 70s, you had a disc this big. It held 14 minutes of music. Now you have an iPod that holds thousands of songs. That's what technology will do. But the automobile, put the gas in, burn it up, and screw up the environment.
So here's the difference between Schwarzenegger and me. Because, you know, he's done, in the last 90 days, he's tried to do this extreme makeover. Fake like he's a Democrat. Fake like he's progressive. Seven Hummers. The Angelius family owns three hybrids. Look at hybrids. How simple.
Yes. Yeah,
how
I know.
Simple.
I always thought him driving around California in the Hummer was a ridiculous statement to make to the
Mr. Enviro, yeah.
Right. Mike? Okay.
Yeah.
You have something important to say about Prop 87?
Yeah. Hey, Adam, I think you're great, by the way, and I'm a superintendent. Hey, I just got to say, this guy's saying yes on 87. Well, if you read the pamphlet, it actually says that we'll be taxed. So is the oil company going to be taxed?
Yes.
Or are we going to be taxed? And remember, the state already charges us 50 cents a gallon on tax.
Want me to talk about that?
Yes.
So what's the truth?
Yeah, the truth is the oil companies are going to have an assessment levied on them, and we're the only state in the country that doesn't do it. I mean, Alaska does it, Arkansas does it, Louisiana does it, and the initiative specifically says they cannot pass that on to consumers. And oil set by the world market. This is a little slice of their profit so we can develop clean fuels, alternative energy.
So yes on 87.
Yes on 87.
Well, thank you, Phil Angelides. I like the cut of your jib, and I like the cut of your daughter's jib.
Well, I'm telling you, Adam.
If, in fact, the ladies have jibs, I'm not sure. But
if I knew what a jib was, I'd probably come across the table.
I will search her and make sure she doesn't have one.
It's a sailing term.
So yes. Phil Angelides for governor, thank you for having me here today. And now I'm being... Now I'm being booted aside by the Playboy bunnies, right?
Some of Hef's girlfriends are
some
in here.
Some introductions are in order, I think,
I'll vote
Adam.
For you. You're sexy.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
Who?
Me too.
You guys know Phil Angelides?
Oh, yeah, we see him at the mansion all the time.
Oh, yeah. This is
what?
I categorically deny this.
What'd you say, Phil?
I've never seen these young women before.
Well, they say they've seen you at the mansion many times. Perhaps you don't recognize him with his clothes on, ladies.
That's what it is.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for ruining my career.
Well, he's not changing policies.
No,
he's changing his drawers at the Playboy Mansion. All right, go to Phil Angelides or Angelides.com. That's Angelides.com. Good to talk to you.
Great to be with you.
Future governor, and I'll look forward to my position in your cabinet. And speaking of positions, ladies, we'll be talking to you next. We have Hef's girlfriends after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. And now the girls next door. Two of Hef's girlfriends, Holly and Bridget, on the Adam Carolla Show.
What's happening, baby dolls?
Hey, what's up?
Very eclectic show this morning. So do you really know Phil Angelides?
Yeah, we see him all the time.
Just high as a kite in the grotto. I heard, actually, Holly told me. I believe it was Holly that told me during the break he was in a rough trade. I don't know what that meant. The Girls Next Door, Sunday nights, 10 o'clock on E! Second big season. God bless you. And then you guys are going to be with us on the 26th when we're up there throwing our Halloween party, yes?
Yeah, we're going to come out in sexy costumes.
The Ooh.
Where are you going to be?
I am going to be a DJ who's trying to get through 4 hours. Everyone around me is getting drunk.
You should come dressed up as Dr. Drew from Loveline.
Yes, F him. It's easy.
I think he's hot.
Anyone can be Dr. Drew from Loveline. All you got to do is get your wife to get a pee whip and just flog you. Flog you as you go through life. You like Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Think he's hot?
I used to have a crush on him in high school.
Mm-hmm.
She likes
now did you know him from the MTV days?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the thing is he is a nerd, but he is a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he is.
But he is so pee-whipped.
Yeah.
That I used to tell him. Yeah.
That's the kind of husband I aspire to have one day. Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I would tell him, look, what if we're on the road? What if we're in Canada? It's nice to go to a different country. And what if somebody just volunteered to give us a little oral sex in the back of the limo? Would you call that cheating? And he said, not only would I call that cheating, I would look at that as an attack on my family.
Aww.
And I said, well, we have nothing more to talk about.
Your dad's weird.
I said, good day. I threw my scarf around my neck, and I said, good day. And I told him he'd be hearing from my seconds as well. Yeah, so that's, I know the reason you like him is the reason you can't be with him.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Forbidden fruit. When I say fruit, I mean homo. He's gay. All right, so you guys are going to be there with us. You'll be dressed as what? Have we figured it out yet, or are we just going with the body paint?
Not the body paint. I have a ton of skimpy costumes, though, so I'll pull one of them out of the drawer.
Mm-hmm. It is the best holiday, certainly visually.
Oh, absolutely.
For guys. And, yes, I've been to the Playboy Mansion for the regular Halloween party that goes on over there, and it's just people walking around with boobies painted up. And
I love to people watch at those parties just to see the crazy costumes. Yeah. And
I got to say that fun houses or horror houses have taken on a whole new dimension. I mean, they're using lasers and imaging techniques and stuff. You've passed through. They always set up a big... now, we're not going to have anything like that. We'll just have Big Tad crying over a Fresca. But,
that's scary.
That's actually a diet drink.
But the haunted house that is up there will scare the bejesus out of you.
It's the best in the world. It's a really good haunted
house. You know
what
I say? They got to set that thing up. Our party's going to be a couple days before your party. I say we get that thing up and running and we storm it.
I think they'll still be working on it, honestly. They get started about a month in advance and it takes a lot.
Yeah, it's not... I mean, when I was growing up, they would take some liver, some like calf's liver, and they would dump it on a guy's chest and he would just lie there on the ground going, oh! And that was about it. Now they do weird things where guys put on like spotted suits and they stand up against spotted walls and you can't see them. There's a lot of weird, freaky mind games going on.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. And so you guys, again, are not going to give us a heads up on what you're wearing, but it'll be something very provocative.
Absolutely.
And there's a topless DJ, I hear, as well.
Yeah. I wonder if it's the same one I've seen before.
Oh,
she's into it.
I think she's the one.
Oh, it's a chick?
Yeah.
All right. Then. I thought it was a guy who lost 300 pounds.
Oh, no.
I'm tired. Please, Brian. I'd rather have my Asian flute. I can tell you this. We will have ourselves a party when we go there, and I guarantee a good time.
Ooh.
That's how you know it's going to happen. Watch this. I'm going to make sweet love to both of you in the monkey cage.
I don't think so.
It will be.
I love over the prophecy
half.
Sound.
Hef will be there to hand me a towel and a beer, and that is all. Oh, you don't believe me? Ask Kim Chi, the flutist. All right, we need to take a quick break. Holly and Bridget both here. The girls next door. Sunday nights, 10 o'clock on E! Second big season coming up. We'll also see him at the Playboy Mansion coming up on the 26th. Quick break. Be right back after this.
Hey, this is Bob Saget, another random celebrity on a piece of tape so Adam can say that I was on his show. You're listening to Adam Carolla's show. So exciting, I crap myself.
So bitter. Oh, boy. Bridget, Holly.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
I wish I could do that. As a hairy dude, I can't do that.
Yeah, that'd be gay.
People are like, hey, Adam. Hey, shut up, weirdo. Wouldn't work at all. I'll try with you, Dave. Hey, Dave's here with us today.
What's happening there, Ace?
Hey!
I didn't know Adam was gay.
Yeah, see? It doesn't work. The Girls Next Door is the name of the show. Sunday nights, 10 o'clock on E! Oh, we're desperately out of time. Bridget, Holly, I will see you on the 26th up at the mansion.
Can't wait. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's going to be good.
Fish Phil Angelides Speedo out of the grotto, and then we'll start the party. I want to thank Phil Angelides for coming in, and of course, Bridget and Holly Warrant.
Woo!
For playing Cherry Pie acoustically several
like
thousand
song.
Times.
Me too.
Also, quick heads up for all the folks that want to go out tonight at the Virgin Megastore at 6 o'clock. They can see Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Mercedes. Well, I think it's McNabb. Yes?
I think so, too.
I'm going to go with Mercedes McNabb. She's going to be signing her November Playboy over there.
Ooh, la la.
We'll see you guys on the 26th. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.